with two wideouts to the far side. The top of the field, Anderson fakes the handoff on the keeper, slips as he makes the cut through a little hole across the right side of the line, gets across the 35 to about the 38-yard line. Streaks will be 3 yards short of the first down.
Wouldn't be surprised to see us go right two-thirds of the time tonight to get away from big number 97, Josh Augusta, their defensive end that you might have heard Kelly Kane talking about. The kid's 6'5", 277. He's quite a player on both sides of the ball, so try and keep him out of the game as much as possible.
So the Silver Streaks three and out on their first offensive possession, 2 minutes into the game. No score. We're just underway at Peoria Stadium. A short kick to Tyler Brackett, but no rushes on. A low kick in this heavy, humid air takes a good Galesburg roll from the 35 down all the way inside the 25 to the 23-yard line, where Peoria Central will take over. Just underway, 9:46 to go in this first quarter.
You mentioned it being humid, and of course it was last week too. A different type of humidity, though. It's as you mentioned, it rained on our way over here, and in fact, as we left Avanti's restaurant, it was raining a little bit too. But by the time we got to the field, it's nice and cool. It's just a little bit on the damp side, much more pleasant than it was a week ago when it was so hot.
Lions are led by John Prentice, a senior quarterback, 6 foot, 170 pounds. This is a big play, capable offense. And he starts in the short shotgun with one man lining up to his right. He hands off to the tailback coming out of the backfield. Eric Baird, the leading runner on the season for the Lions offense, picks up about five on first down, running pretty much right up the middle as they take it right at the Silver Streaks for a gain of five on first down up to the 29. And we are underway on the Lions' first offensive possession.
Hard to get a read on Peoria. We'll find out more tonight because the first week they played a real good team in Washington and got ripped. Last week they played a pretty poor team probably in East Peoria and won that one, scoring 40-plus points. So we're not real sure just what we're up against here tonight.
Josh Augusta, the big tight end, 6'5", 277, splits to the outside, but the handoff goes to Baird, bounces off a man at the line of scrimmage, sidesteps two tackles, slides through those, gets into first down territory across the 40 before he's gang-tackled at the 42-yard line. So Baird showing some slipperiness in the backfield on a bit of a slippery field with the moisture here tonight, and the Lions move the chains to first down at the 43.
Can't help but think when we're here at this field playing the Peoria Lions about that great game that we played that got us into the playoffs the year that Zach Shea was our head coach.
And 2002.
Had to have that game and led it all the way, and Central nearly pulled it out. We stopped him at the one-yard line on a two-point conversion attempt to get into the playoffs.
Hand off to Baird. Big hole up the middle. Blasts across another man. Breaks into open field in the secondary, and he may go all the way to the 20, the 10, and he high steps into the end zone for a long touchdown run of 57 yards on the third play of the game. We told you the Central Lions had big play offensive capability, and they show it there.
Well, and they'll use the smash mouth as much as they can, as both our coaches were telling us. This is a big Central team. In fact, Coach Kane thought this is probably the biggest team we'd see all year, and they just manhandled us on that, got out in the open. Dakota Smith, good pursuit for the Streaks that time, but not quite fast enough to catch the runner, who goes all the way for the score towards War Memorial Drive.
Silver Streaks, three plays and a punt. Peoria Central, three plays, a touchdown, and an extra point. 7-0 Lions, 8:38 to go. First quarter, this is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock, with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Interactive sports talk with scores, expert analysis, and so much more. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
At Peoria Stadium, Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee, Nicole Olin, our broadcast engineer for Silver Streaks football. Both teams have had the ball once each in the first 3 minutes and 22 seconds. And the Lions are the ones who score, leading at 7-0. Galesburg punted on its first possession. Cedric Washington ducks at the 2-yard line and lets the ball go over his head into and out of the end zone. Silver Streaks on their second offensive possession of the game look to try to get something going here in this first quarter, and tried to stop Peoria Central's momentum early on. The three-play scoring drive that took only a minute and 8 seconds off the clock and moved 76 yards. Three running plays by Eric Baird, the tailback, covered all 76 of those yards. Silver Streaks out of the eye with Will Anderson under center at quarterback. John Mixon, the up man. Trevon Diggins, the tailback. Two wideouts to the near side. Handoff goes to Diggins. Gets hit behind the line of scrimmage and pushed backwards.
Wrapped up by Harrison Hale, linebacker for Peoria Central. 194-pound junior. And Trevon pretty strong, but he never really was able to get any momentum going. Hale was in there in the backfield about as soon as he got the ball. So the O-line not getting the job done on that handoff. You know, I noticed, Brad, the kicking duties handled by the quarterback, John Prentice, for Central, much like we had last year, the last couple of years with Andrew Steck at Galesburg, was both the quarterback and the kicker and the punter. And good leg. Second straight week we've seen a guy with a good leg. Last week Morton had a good one, too.
Anderson drops back in the short gun. Handoff goes to the right side. Silver Streaks are able to move the pile forward. Strong run, but not a big run by Diggins as he picks up, we'll call it six. They're going to spot the ball at right about the 25-yard line. So it'll be third and a long five upcoming for the Silver Streaks. Set the starting lineups for you for the Silver Streaks across the line. Zane Crowell, 6'2", 35 junior, and Dylan Hoven, the start at the tackle, 6'3", 210, also a junior. The guards, Michael Eon, another junior at 6'1", 210, and Tyler Brackett at 6'1", 215. The only senior on that offensive line, which is getting pushed around pretty good right now. Running play to the right side for John Mixon. Gains a couple of more, but again, three plays and out for the Silver Streaks as it's fourth and three coming up. Just nothing moving across that front for the Streaks so far.
Yeah, you know, last week I was very impressed with Morton's linebacking crew, their aggressiveness and their physicality. I think more so here with the Peoria, it's that front line. They are so big and strong, and they've even got a kid over here on the sidelines who just plays defense, Larry Howell. He's 6'3 and 302.
Tyler Brackett takes a high snap this time, but again, no rush. Gets off a good high punt. This will allow the special teams to get underneath it and surround it. And the Silver Streaks watch it roll right at the Lions' 45-yard line. So good position for Peoria High School, taking over on their second offensive possession with 6:31 to go in this first quarter, already leading 7-0. And now with the ball near midfield, the Lions on offense. We mentioned John Prentice at quarterback, and you've already heard us talk about tailback Eric Baird at 6'1", 176. The wideouts, Denari Ellis at 6'1", 166, a senior, and a little guy, Eric Romanis, at the other wideout spot, 5'11", 145, a junior. But the pass plays often goes to the tight ends. One of them in motion right now, Josh Augusta, then lines up at a fullback spot. Ends up as the leading blocker with a handoff to Baird. Crosses the 45, the line of scrimmage, to the 46. Just a gain of one on first down for the Lions as they are near midfield.
Yeah, they bring the big kid Augusta off of the end spot and do line him up as a lead blocker. And the couple of times that he's done that in two possessions, he hasn't found anybody to block. I think the Silver Streaks have been wised up and said, I'm not going to go head up with that masher, and just try and work their way around him. Made the tackle on that play. It's second down and nine.
Jordan Kaczynski, the other tight end, 6'4", 238. He is a senior. Augusta at 277, just a junior. Two wideouts to the near side. Now the man in motion lines up at fullback. That's Rob Walker, V.J. Walker. Handoff up the middle again. An opening across the right side of the line for Baird. Gets tripped up short of the line of scrimmage. Knocked down in Galesburg territory, though, at the 47-yard line. It'll be third and two upcoming.
Cedric Washington with the tackle that time for the Silver Streaks. And we were talking on the way over to the game and the Streaks secondary and Trevon Diggins. Down on the field, of course, I'm in the press box for the road games, but at the home games, I'm down on the field, and I've been so impressed with Diggins' ability to tackle. He's a very sure tackler, saved a couple of touchdowns in that game last week, playing that safety spot, and it's good insurance to have his speed and tackling ability back there.
Lions on third and two, inside the Galesburg 47. Baird again the handoff, found an opening across the right side, crosses the 40, inside the 40 to the 36-yard line. More than enough for a first down, and the Lions move the chains. And all six offensive plays so far for the Lions have gone to the tailback, Eric Baird. Picks up another 10 yards there. He already has 94 yards rushing tonight and a touchdown. First down for the Lions from the Galesburg 36-yard line. 4:44 to go in this first quarter. Peoria Central trying to build on a 7-0 lead. High snap. Good job by the quarterback Prentice to haul that one in. Handoff goes to the right side. Another first down. Again, the Lions continue to run to the right side of that offensive line. First time on the handoff, or first time of the night, that a handoff goes to somebody other than Baird. And this one goes to Harrison Hale at 5'10", 194. Pretty good size. And Hale makes it first and 10 at the Silver Streaks 23-yard line as he picks up 13. And now whistles just as the play gets underway. Handoff went to Hale, who was taking it right up the middle. But this will be a dead ball, and we'll bring it back 5 yards.
I think they're going to flag him this time. They've been moving that end over to block, but he had some illegal motion that time. Yeah, the 5-yard penalty, going to call this one back. They use Rob Walker that time, 5'8", 247, and he's the smaller of the ends. And looks like they're going to continue to use that play until the Streaks prove they can stop it, because Walker has thrown some key blocks on this drive from that spot to be able to spring his man up the middle.
So Hale in at tailback now, as Baird is getting a breather, having run the first six offensive plays of the night. Augusta goes in motion, provides a lead block. Hale spinning in the backfield. Streaks were able to get some penetration and slow him down, forcing him left. John Mixon chased him down. A couple of other Silver Streaks there as well. Zane Crowell in on the tackle. And it goes for a loss of one, so now second and 16.
Yeah, good reaction by Galesburg defense, because that play designed to go up the middle, and that's what we've got to stop. But we didn't bite on it when the back spun around off to the far side towards the Galesburg sideline. Thought he might be able to make something happen, but as you mentioned, Crowell was over there along with Mixon, and they took him down. And now we got a second and long.
Second and 16 from the Galesburg 29-yard line. Handoff goes right, coming out of the end-around spot, trying to get to the outside. Breaks a tackle from Tyler Bracken in the backfield. And finally, Trevon Diggins wraps him up at the 10-yard line, takes him out of bounds, coming out of the wideout spot.
Terrell Shields.
And that's enough for a first down. A gain of 19 for the Lions. And is this going to be first and goal? It is. They're going to spot the ball right at the 10-yard line.
Did a nice job turning that corner and found some room to run. Streaks couldn't track him down until he did get to the 10. I think a few on the Peoria sideline wanted a late hit. He was tackled out of bounds a ways, but a lot of momentum coming over. I think Diggins on that play went ahead and took him out. There was no flag.
Now a misconnection on the snap to the quarterback at Prentice at the 15-yard line, but it looks from here that he was able to fall back on it. It was a good snap right to him, but it looked like he turned just a hair too early to try to make the handoff before he really had the handle on the ball. It fell in front of him, and he was able to recover in time to get it back at the 14-yard line. So a loss of four on first down, second and goal from the 14.
No guarantee that it won't rain again here tonight, but we've got a nice patch of clearing skies overhead. You can see the moon here now, but quite a few clouds surrounding, so we could still have a shower, but I actually just softened up the turf a little bit. I think it's a very playable field here right now.
Hale, the single setback in the backfield. Eric Romanis lands upright. They hand off to Hale, tries to get to the outside. Looked like it might have been a high tackle on Cedric Washington, running him out of bounds at the 10-yard line. So they gain the four back that they lost on the recovered fumble. It'll be third and goal from the 10. From up here, it almost looked like Cedric had him from the face mask.
Yeah, it was definitely a high tackle. Must have just got the hands on that jersey up around the shoulder pads and twisted him out of bounds.
Officials were right there, so trust that they certainly saw it better than we did. We're down under 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Peoria Central leading the Silver Streaks 7-0, knocking on the door, third and goal at the Galesburg 10. Augusta in motion. The snap. Fake handoff left. Prentice on the keeper, trying to get to the outside. Good trip up by Drew Carlson behind the 5-yard line, coming out of a linebacker spot. Just made a dive at Prentice, was able to get enough of him to knock him down at the 6.
Yeah, touchdown saver, because Carlson came out of nowhere. It looked from up here like Prentice was going to be able to just head the other way and trot into the end zone, but Carlson closed quickly, had the angle that time, able to get enough of the leg to drag him down, and we'll see whether they go for it, the touchdown or kick a field goal.
Well, it'll be fourth and goal from the 6. They look to be huddling up to run a play here. And they will line up to run a play. Prentice talks it over with his big tight end, Augusta. Hale, the single setback, with two wideouts to the near side, the home side of the field. And now a whistle, just as Prentice tries to bring his team set, and a timeout called by the Lions. 1:36 to go, first quarter. Peoria leading the Silver Streaks 7-0. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
10th play of the drive upcoming for the Lions of Peoria High School. It'll be 4th and goal from the Galesburg 6. Peoria already leading the Silver Streaks 7-0 with a minute 36 to go in this first quarter. The drive started back at the Lions' 45-yard line. Their opening series, they went 76 yards in just three plays. Now they've advanced the ball 49 yards as a flock of geese flies right over the field, right over the top of the press box, a low-flying group. And here's the snap away on 4th and goal from the 6. Handoff to Hale, and he's stopped in the backfield and dragged down at the 5-yard line. And the guy who got a start last week with the injury to Derek Brackett, it's Dylan Hovind, who wraps him up at the legs and down at the ankles and brings him down at the 5-yard line. So the Silver Streaks defense holds, does not give up a score here, but takes over from their own 5-yard line with a minute 33 to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, nice stand by the Silver Streaks. I thought a fairly unimaginative play call by Peoria for having taken a timeout there to try and set that up, and then basically looked like they just ran off tackle. And I was expecting to see a little something dramatic than that, but we're glad the Silver Streaks able to hold. Let's see if they can put something together on offense and get out of this hole.
Galesburg still searching for its first down of the night. Hand off, a little bit of a hole across the middle for John Nixon. Crosses the 10-yard line, gets up to about the 12, so a good gain of 7 on first down for Mixon. Biggest play of the night for the Silver Streaks. Gives them a little more room to breathe here, but you certainly want to see them move the chains. I'll tell you, somebody else who wants to see the Silver Streaks move the chains is Josh Bland of Galesburg, a former Silver Streak himself, who is a first name drawn in our Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest tonight. Streaks need to march it downfield another 88 yards in the final minute here for Josh to be a winner in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. Streaks, I think, would be happy to settle for a first down at this point.
Didn't happen on that play.
As they, it looks like they got stopped right at the 15-yard line. This is going to be close to a first down. Handoff went right to Cedric Washington, and no measurement. They're going to give him forward progress to the 16, so Silver Streaks do finally get their first down of the night on a 4-yard run by Cedric Washington.
The gang tackle at the end of that as he got shoved back by a bunch of maroon and black, but enough to move the sticks. So, you know, this conference may be a little more balanced this year. Richwood's is 0-2. They play good competition.
Sure have.
They got Joliet Catholic tonight, so a good chance they're going to start 0-3, which I can't remember the last time that's happened. But, you know, this Central team looks decent, and Manuel's not too bad. I think they're a lot like Central at this point, and we've got a timeout on the field. But, yeah, more balance, I think, in the mid-state.
I didn't see the officials indicate, I'm assuming the Silver Streaks called the timeout, unless it was just an equipment thing, because they're back out of the huddle pretty clear. Line talk with Coach Tim Doherty fairly quickly. He's shaking his head. He is not happy as he's walking back to the sideline, looking at his coaching staff, throwing his arms out. So he was not happy to have to apparently use a timeout there, but the Silver Streaks are back quickly under huddle with a new set of downs at their own 16-yard line. 25 seconds to go, first quarter. Hand off to the left, and just nothing there as the Lions are all over the left side of that Galesburg offensive line, which is the direction Cedric Washington was headed, and he was stopped before he had a chance to get anywhere. A loss of 1, back to the 15.
Well, you wonder if we might have to try and throw the ball a little bit more, but that's not always the solution. because with a line that big, your lineman going to have to keep that guy off of your quarterback and give the receivers time to run some routes. We'll see what the second quarter brings after we just ended the first.
7-0 Lions over the Silver Streaks after one. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
The excitement of high school sports really takes me back.
Our team at Bates is proud to support the Silver Streaks for another winning season.
Hey, I think that guy just hit another home run.
Isn't it time for your nap?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
One quarter gone at Peoria Stadium. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Nicole Olin, our broadcast engineer. Silver Streaks football here on WGIL. Galesburg trailing Peoria. Peoria High School Lions 7-0 after one quarter. Want to give one of our special thanks to one of our sponsors. Here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, helping bring you Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 by providing our transportation to all road games throughout the football and basketball seasons yet again this year. We'll tell you what we have the enormous pleasure of driving here in just a moment. We strongly urge you to check this one out. Will Anderson with a fake handoff and the quarterback keeper rolls across the right side of the line, stopped short of the 20. He'll pick up, All right, to the 24. That's about where I thought. I was watching the stick on the far side of the field, or to the 19, excuse me, but now still 3rd and 7 upcoming. Jim's going to hog the Nissan Maxima all night long, I think. I'm not sure I'm going to get a chance to drive this because of how impressed you are.
Now, I'm not sure Jeff Klink wants me to talk about it because I don't want them to sell it. I want it to be our car all year during the sports season. What a fantastic Nissan Altima we are driving tonight. It is loaded with everything, and does it ever have the get up and go?
Give you 3rd and 7, then tell you more about it. Streaks need a big first down conversion here. Cedric Washington tried to get to the outside. Colton Woolsey on the lead block, and he was starting to force his man to the outside. Cedric cut back to the inside, and that's exactly where the defender went, brushing off Woolsey and stopping Cedric 3 yards short of the first down marker at the 23.
Yeah, the Maxima we came over in is, number one, it's incredibly comfortable and stylish, but you touch that accelerator and you'd think you're in a Camaro or a Mustang, but actually maybe I've ridden in those that don't have quite the pickup that this does. Plus, you get all the style and comfort of a top-of-the-line Nissan Altima, or excuse me, a Maxima, my bad. And it is just a terrific machine with everything you could imagine. It's a 2010. I'm sure they would be happy to make a great deal at Galesburg Nissan. Stop by and see that one if you want the ride of your life.
Tyler Brackett shanks the punt off his right foot, and it goes out of bounds in Galesburg territory at the 44-yard line. So a net of only 21, and the Silver Streaks defense now has to really buckle up. So even though the Lions didn't get the touchdown on the last possession, forcing the Galesburg Silver Streaks to start from their own 5-yard line is going to pay off here, getting the ball back in Galesburg territory with 10:27 to go in the first half, already leading 7-0. Very short punt by Tyler Brackett. Lions with the ball at the Galesburg 47. In motion, Augusta. Hand off to the right side, a new running back, as they've featured three running backs coming out of the backfield now. The handoff to B.J. Gray. As that was Baird on the first 6 plays from the backfield, then it was Harrison Hale for the next 3, and now B.J. Gray gets his first carry and showing a different look each time coming out of that backfield, trying to keep the Streaks defense off balance. That goes for a gain of 12.
Well, B.J. Gray benefited greatly from the fact nobody touched him until he was about 8 or 9 yards deep. Terrific surge off the right side of that Peoria line, and we have got to find a way to solve that problem.
From the Galesburg 35-yard line now. Run goes to the left, then Gray tries to cut back up the middle, gets stopped just across the line of scrimmage, and they're going to mark it, looks like, right at about the 35-yard line.
Well, Brian Allen with a big hit there. He also was in on that fourth down play down near the goal line as well, so Brian Allen coming up and making some hits in this first half as Galesburg tries to hold on here, down 7-0, but it's a complete dominance so far by Peoria on both sides of the ball, and hopefully we won't get down much farther. It's going to be tough to score a lot of points, I think, in this game. This bunch is big and tough.
Lions won the game over East Peoria last week, even though the Raiders played ball control. Here tonight, the Lions have had the lion's share of the ball as the handoff goes to the right side. Silver Streaks defend that one very well as Baird gets his first handoff since early in the game. Picks up only a yard very quickly as the Silver Streaks have responded well after that first down play of this series. Now bringing up third and eight, the Lions have converted one of two third downs early on in the game. The Silver Streaks, meanwhile, while trailing 7-0 with under 9 minutes to go in the first half, still have only one first down of their own. So they definitely want to get this ball back here, make a big defensive stop against the Lions. Two wideouts to the far side, one in the slot near side. Hale goes in motion. The toss to Baird in the backfield, trying to get to the outside. Good lead block, gets to the outside, steps on the sideline. Otherwise, he might have been able to cut that one upfield. He's out of bounds at the 21 for a first down.
First time tonight we've seen him go with that option pitch back, and it worked very well. Streaks trying to pursue to the near side toward the home side, the big grandstand area here. But he was able to turn that corner and get the first down. Like you said, Brad, we're probably fortunate he didn't take it all the way. He just got a little too close to the sideline, was trying to walk the tightrope there, and finally stepped out of bounds.
Third down conversion for the Lions. Baird over 100 yards rushing now with 109 and a touchdown on the night. Gives the Lions a new set of downs at the Galesburg 21. This drive started in Galesburg territory at the 47. Handoff goes to the left again, trying to get to the outside, breaking a tackle. Did he stay in bounds? No, he's out of bounds at the 9-yard line as the handoff went to Hale again.
Dakota Smith on the tackle that time. He actually lost the grip but got enough of him to force Hale to just barely touch that sideline at about the 9. Otherwise, that's a touchdown.
First and goal for the Lions on the fifth play of this drive. Clock stopping at the 8:25 mark. And first and goal now for the Lions. The Streaks were able to hold on first and goal on the last offensive series for the Lions, but they're backed up very quickly again. Hale trying to get to the outside. A couple of hits down low. Now they stand him up and push him backwards to the 10. Forward progress probably to the 8. It'll be second and goal after a gain of a yard.
Silver Streaks tackle, a combination of work by Tim Beatler, and also I think Drew Carlson in on that one again as well. You know, if the Silver Streaks stay low, we're a pretty good tackling team, and we evidenced it right there. If we can get down there and wrap up, the hard part is this surge, this big line of Peoria is just burying us off the ball sometimes to where we really can't even get ourselves square enough to make the tackle. But on that occasion, two Silver Streaks were ready, and we'll see if we can't make another goal line stand here.
Lions haven't had a pass play all night, and they haven't needed to. They have marched up and down the field all over the Silver Streaks trying for their second score. This one straight up the gut, right up the near hash mark, and it looks like Hale has stopped just short of the goal line.
A bruising run right up the middle, and that embarrasses your defense because that's where your bread and butter's got to be. But I can't fault the Streaks. They're playing as hard as they can out there, but they are giving away a lot of manpower up front, and Peoria crushed our interior of our line and went right up the middle.
Third and goal from the Galesburg half-yard line. Under 7 minutes to go first half. The Lions already leading 7-0. Baird back in at the tailback now. Behind the quarterback, John Prentice, who is a senior. Baird just a junior, looking for his second touchdown. Hit in the backfield and
go.
Then leveled from the backside. Got slowed down by Drew Carlson. And then Tyler Brackett finished him off back at the 3. So a loss of 2. It's fourth and goal from the Silver Streaks' 3-yard line.
Little help from Zane Crowell there on the tackle as well as the Silver Streaks trying to make their second straight stop inside the 10. This time the ball was actually inside the 1 on that carry before it now has between the 2 and the 3. So this would be huge if the Streaks can stop this. Now, obviously offensively, we've got to get that ball out of our own zone if we do, but first things first, let's get a stop here and see what we can do.
Eighth play of the drive that started at the Silver Streaks 45. It's fourth and goal from the 3, just past the midpoint of the second quarter. Rolling out, Prentice looking to the backside of the end zone, and it is caught. Yes, he reeled it in as Jordan Kaczynski went down for it. Prentice led him just a little bit, but Kaczynski was able to bring it in, and the Lions on their first pass play of the game catch the Silver Streaks off guard and score on fourth down.
Kaczynski, another one of their big tight ends coming off that line there. He goes at 6 foot four and 238. Had officials on both sides, and it took a while for him to make the call. They made sure that he secured it, and the ball didn't touch the ground in the back of the end zone.
So the Silver Streaks defense firms up inside the goal line, but then weakens just a bit on fourth down, and it's now 14-0 Lions after the 3-yard pass play from Prentice to Kaczynski. The Lions lead by two touchdowns, 5:50 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock, with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
WGIL congratulates David Baxter of Galesburg, this week's Imaginary Duck Hunt winner. He knew the duck was in a delivery truck at the Galesburg Post Office. Congratulations from WGIL.
Eight plays for the Peoria High School Lions, 47 yards. They took 4 minutes and 37 seconds off the clock. John Prentice with a 3-yard pass play. Jordan Kaczynski and now Trevon. Three defenders there finally roll him down. But for the first time all night, the Silver Streaks are in Lions territory as Diggins returns it to the 46-yard line.
That ball first went through the hands of Diggins because he did it all hands. He didn't try and get any body into that. You're thinking, boy, that's going to cost us. But sometimes you see that, whether it be a punt or a kickoff return, where that hesitation, you kind of take the momentum away from that first wave of tacklers who are down there ready to blast you. They slow down a little or chase the ball, and you get through them and you make a big run. That's exactly what happened to Diggins. That's exactly what the Streaks needed to get to some field position here and maybe make a game of it.
See if the momentum can carry over. Or, as Tim Doherty said in the pregame, the pendulum swing. He said he's not a fan of the word momentum. He likes momentum swing better. On the rollout, Anderson, after the play action, throws it behind John Mixon, incomplete. Had Mixon open with a little room to run, probably could have gotten the first down. But instead, he watches it sail behind him and incomplete on Anderson's first pass play of the night.
Yeah, that has to be frustrating to the coaching staff because there have not been a whole lot of openings in this Peoria defense. We had an opportunity there, Brad, as you said, to either run or throw it for some good yardage. We ended up throwing it, bad throw behind Mixon, who has a catchable ball but a tough one, and we just really botched that. That had the opportunity to be a nice play.
Second and 10 from the Lions, 46. 5:33 to go in the first half. Silver Streaks trailing 14-0. Hand off to Washington. Big hole up the middle, but it closes quickly. Gets wrapped up high after a gain of about 5 yards on second down, and Harrison Hale shut him down in a hurry.
Yeah, terrific adjustment by Hale. It did. The Peoria sideline was yelling, draw. Galesburg executed that very well. Looked like it was going to go for some big yardage, but Hale with some quickness got over there, plugged the hole, and limited it to just about a 5-yard gain.
Zedrick Washington, 4 carries for only 7 yards tonight. Tom Doubleday of Galesburg, our name drawn in the Hungry Hobo touchdown contest here in the second quarter. Silver Streaks with 3rd and 5 from the 41 of the Lions. Back to pass. Anderson throws it near side. Yeah, Washington catches up to it and catches it with a man bearing down on him quickly and takes it into first down territory at the 34.
Good job by Washington to evade the tackle of Shaq Johnson. The defensive back came up and had a clean shot at Washington, but he was able to somehow get away from him. He would have probably lost yardage, and as it turned out, he got a gain of enough to get the first down. So terrific effort by Washington to make it happen that time for the Silver Streaks.
Pickup of 8 for the Silver Streaks. They needed 5, so Galesburg moves the chains for only the second time tonight. New set of downs at the Lions 34 with under 4.5 minutes to play in this first half. 14-0, Peoria on top. Hand off to the second man. Another bit of a hole for Washington. Good pickup on first down across the 30 to the 29. He'll gain along 4 on first down. Wasn't much of a hole there, was there, Jim, but he got enough of it.
Yeah, yep, and then kind of went with a little delay there on the handoff again, and that seems to be working a little better rather than trying to to let Peoria get comfortable on a steady count and just go straight at him with that size. We found out that's not going to work, so we're mixing it up a little bit, changing our timing, and that seems to have worked here on the last series.
Streaks go trips left, three wideouts to the far side of the field. Mixon, the lone setback in the backfield. Anderson does give it to him, and the Lions read it perfectly. Mixon had nowhere to go as he got wrapped up high by Deshae Ross, and it'll be third down upcoming.
As I was saying there, we just went pretty much with a straight handoff forward, and that's just rarely going to work against this bunch.
Especially to the short side of the field.
Yeah, you're right. They're just too big and strong. We didn't have enough blocking up there to get much done, so... Decent fan turnout, not a lot from Galesburg over here tonight. There's just so much going on in the community this weekend.
You think?
And, you know, it's kind of, I think they knew it was going to be kind of a cool, maybe borderline misty night out here. But, of course, these stands are so big, you can have a decent crowd, and it still would look pretty thin. They've got a huge capacity here across the way at Peoria Stadium.
In the shotgun, Anderson rolling out to his left, throws it across the middle, and it picked off. Harrison Hale is on the run, and Anderson's the only guy who has a chance at him, and he has no chance at him. Hale returns it from the Lions 33-yard line, 67 yards for the defensive touchdown.
He did a nice job filling that gap, and second time that we've had that happen in 2 weeks. And the momentum that we had there and getting a couple of first downs and getting the first movement we've had for a while quickly squelched by a big play on defense by Peoria, and they lead 20-0.
The Lions have now scored twice in less than 2 minutes after the Silver Streaks were able to hold them off after scoring a touchdown in the first 3 minutes of the game. We got past the midpoint of the second quarter, holding the Lions out of the end zone, but now from the 4:37 mark to the 2:44 mark, it's suddenly a 20-0 game, and the Lions burn their second timeout prior to the extra point attempt.
You know, we're talking about the size of Peoria High, and not just the weights, but they've got a number of kids that are tall. You've got 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", 6'5". I mean, you got a kind of a hybrid basketball football team, but that's where you see so many times the great athletes. Because if you put 260 pounds on a 5'10 frame, your mobility is pretty limited. But when you stretch it out over these guys that are 6'4 and 6'5, you start talking about Division I type of athletes if they're quality players. And so, this Peoria team is even a little better than I figured they'd be coming in here.
Coachable moment for Tim Doherty. A long discussion with Will Anderson on the far sideline at the 40-yard line. It was not an animated. It was a very straightforward discussion. Coach Doherty not showing any intense emotion there. It was just a nice, long, as I said, discussion. Just talking over there and just trying to give Anderson, I think, an idea of what to do in just that kind of situation. It's the two plays that have been returned for touchdowns on the interceptions have been almost identical, and I think that's probably a large part of what Coach Doherty was saying. In those situations, this is what you have to be watching for. The extra point is good. It's 21-0 Lions with 2:44 to go before halftime. So the Streaks with only even a couple of first downs to show for their offensive movement here in the first half, desperately need a big play to build something here prior to halftime.
Well, this Silver Streaks team, I think most of us knew it coming in, was very inexperienced, but also not real big. I mean, you know, some decent size at a few spots, but against the type of opponents that we see week in and week out, we're going to be undersized most of the time. And, in fact, I remember clearly when Tim Doherty was named the head coach, we called him the next morning as Terry Cavanaugh talked to him on the morning news. And the first thing I told Tim, I said, well, Tim, if you wanted some big guys, you're a year too late because we had the size to compete with this outfit last year. But all of those big linemen have graduated. He said, I've been able to find ways to put some teams together without great big size. And it's pretty tough to have a lack of size and that huge lack of experience, varsity experience coming in.
Onside kick as the end-over-end kick rolls along to the Galesburg 45-yard line as they clearly were not going to kick deep to Cedric Washington or Trevon Diggins and take any more chances there, and I'm not sure the ball even went 10 yards because we got a flag down on the far side of the field, or do we have an offsides? It went right at 10 yards. Is that where Colton Woolsey fell on it? But we got a flag down on the far side, which I think is going to indicate they were offsides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, you know, that's not bad field position if we decline it. It'd be at the 45. So and unless they kick it short again, is that a declinable penalty, Brad?
I'm not sure that it is.
Because if it wasn't, I think we probably would have declined that, to take that ball at that spot, because they may go ahead and kick deep on this. Or if they do the onside kick, you always have that chance of, especially on a damp night, of fumbling as well. So apparently that was not a penalty that we could have declined, or I'm pretty confident we would have.
Yeah, the side judge came running in pretty emphatically, throwing his arms in the air, trying to get everybody's attention. I think he might have been blowing, because we're way up high, and he's way on the other side of the field. We may never have heard the whistle. So now they'll go with a line drive kick.
That'll work.
And that'll roll out of bounds, so that'll give the Streaks good field position. Not quite the 45 where they had it, but the Streaks will take it at the 35 after it goes out of bounds at the 19.
Yeah, Coach Tim Thornton of Peoria doesn't have too much to be unhappy about, but I don't suppose he's going to have a kind word for his kicker on that one. That's the last thing they wanted, to just kick the thing out of bounds and give the Silver Streaks a decent start. But I guess it keeps the ball out of Diggins' hands, and that was apparently job one.
Yeah, and given the way that the defense has shut down the Silver Streaks offense for the most part, I don't think he can be entirely unhappy with that strategy either, because Diggins, despite the fumble on the last kickoff, as we talked about, did return it into Lions territory. It's the only night the Streaks have been across the 50 all night long. But then the drive stalled as the defense shut them down. So strategy-wise, still got to like the Lions' chances here until the Silver Streaks can prove they can move the ball. 2:44 to go before halftime. Hand off to the right side. Goes nowhere. And actually it was the keeper on Anderson. He didn't fool anybody with it, as Diggins got wrapped up by two short of the line of scrimmage, and Anderson was wrapped up behind the line of scrimmage, did a nice job just to get back for no gain.
Into that field position, it depends on the level of football, too. In the NFL, you give a team the ball 35 or 40, and they've got a real good quarterback. They're 2-3 plays away from kicking a field goal on you. But at this level, pretty unusual to have that kind of savvy. It takes a little bit longer to march down the field, so that it doesn't look like that big of a problem for the defense.
Streaks trail 21-0, approaching the two-minute mark. Mixon sidesteps a defender in the backfield and then gets taken down low as he approached the line of scrimmage. Looked like he might make it all the way to the first down marker, but then out of the defensive secondary, Denari Ellis came in, got down low, knocked down Mixon for a gain of 8, but still third down coming up for the Silver Streaks. They have converted only 1 of 5 third down attempts so far.
Yet another good run, though, in the early season by Mixon. He had a number of opportunities to go down shy of an 8-yard gain, was able to get out that stiff arm and fight his way off a couple of guys and finally get at least close to the sticks.
5 rushes, 20 yards tonight for Mixon. 2 wideouts to the near side. Innes and Diggins for the Silver Streaks. Now Galesburg calls timeout on 3rd and 2 with 86 seconds to play before halftime. Good opportunity to finally mention our halftime interview this week. We hope you've enjoyed our look at college football the last couple of halftimes in the first 2 weeks of the season, talking Knox and Monmouth football. Well, this week we're going to talk some Leatherneck football with former Silver Streak Ryan Ricketts. And, Jim, I know you had a chance to catch up with him. Always, always good to talk with Ryan Ricketts, a tremendous young man to visit with, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I had hoped to catch up with him live and in person down in Macomb this week, but it just didn't work out for us, so we settled for a discussion on the telephone. But he handles himself very well there, too, and just it'll be interesting to find out why he's at Western Illinois University and what some of his experiences have been getting ready this summer. And, of course, their first game, they went down to Texas to play last week,
right,
and he had an eye-opener down there with Texas football at some of its best. So yeah, Ryan's had an eventful first few months, and so we'll hear a little bit what he's experienced coming up at halftime.
Ever tell you my experience with Texas football?
No.
If we can work that in before halftime, maybe I will. Hand off to the left side, and Mixon got enough for the first down as he crosses the 45 to the 47-yard line. Again, not much of a hole there, but the dive forward by Mixon allows the Silver Streaks to move the chains for only the second time on third down tonight. But still trying to get into Lions territory at the Silver Streaks' 47-yard line. Mixon 6 runs, 24 yards here in this first half. Galesburg trailing 21-0. Need to hurry up now with a minute 15 to go in the quarter. Out of the shotgun, Anderson rolling near side, avoids a tackle into the backfield. Now he tucks it in, gets down low, and he's blasted pretty hard. The ball pops out at the end of the play, but the officials blow the play dead, and they are screaming for the Galesburg coaching staff to get over quickly as Anderson is down at the 50.
Yeah, he really got hit hard. And
Denise Polworth is sprinting over to check him out. I mean, the officials were instantly indicating to the Galesburg sideline to get over right away.
Yeah, he tried to lower his head and didn't get quite as low as
well,
a would-be tackler.
That's good.
And runs off. Somebody's helmet looked like caught him right in the leg there. But, yeah, I'm shocked that he was able to bounce back up. That's terrific. Now, Coach Tim Doherty coming out to meet him, and he may be making sure that all his faculties are there as he talks with this young quarterback. But that's a great sign. Because he was down flat for probably 30 seconds and really hadn't moved very much, and all of a sudden just popped right up.
Well, and honestly, what scared me so much was seeing the official calling so dramatically to the Galesburg sideline to come over instantly.
And the Peoria sideline, the players, of course, all jazzed up because it was a big hit and a clean hit. But fortunately for us, at least Anderson seems to be okay.
Jake Thompson in as the backup quarterback, makes the handoff to John Mixon, gets across the Lions, across the 50 in the Lions territory at the 45-yard line, and Silver Streaks use their final timeout with third and two upcoming from the Peoria Central 45-yard line and 45 seconds to go in the first half.
You know, one thing I think Coach Tim Doherty at least is able to keep some perspective. I looked through the binoculars on the far side after just that last time out a couple of plays ago, and he was laughing with the official a little bit, and then he went over and shared a laugh with his quarterback as he was, you know, not that he's laughing off a loss. Certainly that's not his style. You're not a Hall of Fame coach by taking things easy. But I think, you know, he realizes the situation that he's got guys out there playing as hard as they can but just are so outmanned physically that, you know, you keep your head up and hopefully you can make some good things happen here before you go into the locker room.
Denise Polworth working on Will Anderson on the far side of the field, just short of the 50-yard line, where she is in position. She's kind of shielding what she's working on, but she has the tape out. And it looks like Will's holding out an arm, so she might be taping a wrist over there, possibly. But he's on his feet, and he looks fine from over here. Hand off to Cedric Washington, gets hit in the backfield, fights his way forward close to the first down marker. Clock rolling with 30 seconds to go. Streaks have fourth down, fourth and less than a yard from the Lions' 44-yard line. So even if the Streaks are able to make anything happen here, they have no timeouts remaining. So they may just have to go for a quick sideline play here or something to get the clock stopped. We're down to 15 seconds to go. Thompson is the backup quarterback on fourth down out of the eye. Looked like he lost the ball at the line of scrimmage, and it falls down on the ground. And regardless of who has it, the Lions take over on downs.
9 seconds left on the clock, so with a 21-0 lead, I'm assuming Peoria will just crash one into the line rather than try and make something spectacular happen here before the half. Already up three touchdowns, but we'll wait and see.
They have one touchdown left of their own with 9 seconds to go, as Jim mentioned, but still 6 yards short of midfield. It would be hard to imagine that they would go for a huge play here, but when you least expect it is oftentimes when it's the most effective.
No, they're not in the kneel-down formation.
And a flag flies.
Another
from
five.
The side judge.
This five will get against Peoria. Either formation or delay of game, one of the two.
They're lining up in the neutral zone. So they'll march it back 5 yards. Third penalty of the game for the Lions. All minor infractions. And if there had been any thought of going for a big play, you wonder if that extra 5 yards against him will make any difference now. So the ball spotted at the Lions' 39-yard line. They are lining up to run a play here, rolling out. Here's the pressure from the backfield, and a nice job by the Silver Streaks. Was that Carlson who got through there?
Yep.
It was. The shotgun snap to the quarterback, Prentice, who rolled right, and he took one step to the right, and Drew Carlson was bearing down right on top of him, and takes him down for a big loss for the final play of this first half. But it's been all Lions through the first two quarters, 21-0 Peoria Central. And again, coming up at halftime, Jim Lee's visit with former Silver Streak Ryan Ricketts, now at Western Illinois University. And, of course, we'll give you some first half stats, recap how we got to this point, all coming up on the halftime show. Galesburg trails by three touchdowns at the break. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
After an accident, you may not know where to turn.
Turn to Bates. We'll navigate you through all the insurance paperwork, set you up with a rental car,
and make your car look like new with a factory-perfect repair. Guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Breed Loves is the answer. If you were just asking yourself, so where would LeBron James and Lance Armstrong shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? Breed Loves Sporting Goods. And don't you want to shop where two of the world's greatest athletes would shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? For team uniforms, sports equipment, custom lettering, screen printing, tons of shoes, spirit wear, and letterman jackets for all area high schools, and the top brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, and Adidas. Specializing in custom lettering, signs, trophies, medals, plaques, and awards. And the top shopping spot of LeBron James and Lance Armstrong when they do finally visit downtown Kewaunee. Breedlove Sporting Goods.
Every morning to prove how smart he is, Dan does the crossword puzzle.
13-letter word for 500th anniversary. Quincentenary. Nailed it.
This morning, however, his wife Katie tops him. She brings an awesome meal she got off McDonald's dollar menu at breakfast. A sausage burrito made with savory sausage, melty cheese, and fluffy eggs, premium roast coffee, and more. Everything's so good and just a buck each. Who's smart now?
4-letter word for genius.
Wife. Nailed it.
McDonald's dollar menu at breakfast. The simple joy of being smart. Price and participation may vary.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center halftime report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. This is healthcare.
Silver Streaks halftime, and time to talk to a former Silver Streak. Ryan Ricketts joins us now here at halftime with the Silver Streaks game at Peoria. And Ryan joining us on the telephone, as he's been keeping plenty busy, as have we, in this third week of the football season. It's the second week for the Western Illinois Lebanecs, and that's what Ryan is now. Ryan, thanks for joining us here from Macomb on the phone for a little while. And how things going for you so far there as a Lebanec?
They're going real well. Things are going real well, and thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to find out your experiences here after transitioning over the summer. I guess, first of all, let's go back. Your decision, you had a number of offers of where to play football after your great career with the Silver Streaks. You settled on Western Illinois University. How did that decision come about, Ryan?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to major in agriculture, and I wanted to pick a school that was very strong in their agriculture department, and that was a big factor, and Western's got a great agriculture program. And also, I wanted to play in a good football program that's won a lot of games and will win a lot of games in the future. And I knew Western was fit my needed there. And then also, you know, it came into where my family could all get down and see me, and I could be close to my family. And that was big, too. That helped decide it as well. It's nice to see your family and then get them down to ball games and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I wondered if maybe that proximity didn't come into play, because you had talked at one point about maybe shooting for Iowa or Wisconsin or one of the Big Ten schools. Is that something that was an opportunity for you, or did you just feel like you wanted to be a little closer to home?
Yeah, that was an opportunity for me. Of course, the offer wasn't as great from those bigger schools, and then it was a decision that maybe you know, I could play a lot more and be closer to my family, or, you know, not see the field as much and, you know, be farther away and that. So, but this same time, you can play, you know, pretty good teams week in and week out and good competition, and then still be close to home at Western here.
You know, for a lot of us that watch you play and put your man into the ground a number of times over the last few years, we might think, well, he'd just go down to Western and start as a freshman. But I suppose you're running into a lot of guys that are about your size down there, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think probably I'm the third smallest on the offensive line.
Wow.
Of course, there's go against some big kids, and we had a nose tackle transfer from Notre Dame, and he's 6'5", 330, and so I get to go against him quite a bit. So it's definitely a change, that's for sure.
Boy, I guess. How about your summer schedule? What, transitioning from a high school program going to college, did you have a lot of requirements as to what you had to do this summer to get ready?
Yeah, this summer it was an option to come down here. It was not mandatory, but they highly encouraged it. And so I started up the first week of June, and I started summer classes as well as workouts. And I took two online classes, and the workouts were every day, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., and we did 4 days a week of lifting and 3 days of running. And it was definitely a challenge. The weights were a lot different and much more intense. And then running, we did a little bit of everything. We ran hills and ran in the sand pits and did quite a bit of stuff. So it was definitely a big challenge for me.
Yeah, so not only the conditioning factor from a physical standpoint, but I know in talking with those that have gone to college, especially on scholarship too, that then you've got the academics, which you're getting into more and more this fall, and you really have to be a pretty disciplined time manager to get this all done, don't you?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And that's one of the biggest things they stress when we first meet for when the freshmen first come in the fall is time management. And they bring in people that teach you how to do that. And we have to meet with an advisor once a week, and we give her our schedule, and she makes sure that we're doing all of our work. And then 4 days a week, we have 2 hours of mandatory study time, and we go, and they have tutors to help us out and everything we need. And so your first year, they really watch over that and make sure you're doing the things you need to be doing all the time.
You know, we talked about different schools, too, and I suppose there are probably a number of Division III coaches would love to have had you, probably Knox and Monmouth among those. Of course, your brother went to Knox, and you were thinking maybe more along the lines of trying to play at a little higher-level football and, of course, like you said, the agriculture program then, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, that was one thing. I wanted to play at the highest level I could with still being able to play a lot on the field. And also, like I said, that agriculture was huge into it, and obviously I wanted to stay close to that agriculture, and Western has a good agricultural program.
Well, of course, now that your brother's run off to Boston, they got to keep you home, right?
Yeah, that's right. The house is definitely a lot more quiet, that's for sure.
I'll bet. Hey, you know, when we talked to Zach last year before he left Knox and went out to be with the Red Sox, we used to ask him about you guys at home. I mean, you probably helped to keep each other sharp because you're both good athletes and probably both helped each other out and probably locked horns a few times, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember in junior high when Zach was playing quarterback for the Streaks, I remember staying up late at night, and I'd always go back to his room, and he'd have a playbook open or some film on another team, and I'd sit down, and I'd ask him this question and that question, and I'd never let him get to sleep, that's for sure.
That's what little brothers are for, right?
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your experience so far. You've had one game there at Western. You went clear down to Huntsville, Texas to play. Tell us how that went last week.
Yeah, the trip went really well. Of course, we would have liked to get a win out of it, but no, the trip went well, and it was a great experience to, you know, take the plane down there and get off and experience how they fed us. They obviously fed us real well, and then we got escorted in by police officers to the stadium, so that was something I'd never experienced before, and then playing in a great environment down in Texas. They obviously love their football, and so that was really neat, and then to experience a different state, and everything was cool as well.
So you really felt like you were in the big time, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely pretty neat, no doubt about that. You know, running out to several thousand fans and seeing how much they cared about football and seeing how big of a deal it was pretty cool.
Yeah, all right. Did you see the field at all in that one, or were you pretty much a spectator?
I did not see the field. I was a spectator on that one. Our first string center actually got hurt a little bit, so... But no, I had to warm up a little bit, but I did not go in.
Okay, well, hopefully that's in your future. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow. You've got not only the opener at home at Hanson Field, but we're told they put a brand new playing surface down there. Have you had a chance to practice on that ahead of the game, Ryan?
Yeah, this week we got out there Tuesday and Wednesday. We got out and did some practicing on that, and it's obviously a very nice surface, and we're you know, waiting to get out there and play a game on it. But we're very fortunate to have that surface and can't wait to show it off to the community and everyone else.
Is it different at all from what they've put in, say, Monmouth and Knox colleges and like what you played on up at Augustana, or is it pretty much the same thing?
No, it's pretty much the same thing, you know, the with the rubber in it and whatnot. But, yeah, it's the same thing. And so I've played on a little bit and somewhat used to it.
Yeah, well, that'd probably be nice because you'll be able to practice on there, so you won't have that old hard dirt to fall on anymore, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I know during camp we got three practice fields, but already we've tore some grass out of it, and so they're getting muddy already.
Okay, well, finally, just about a minute left to Ryan. Silver Streaks, of course, playing in Peoria tonight without you, and your fellows on the line, Austin Finley, Kevin Hurdlaw, you big fellas graduated last year. What your thoughts about, you miss being a Silver Streak at all?
Absolutely, yeah. I know, I remember week one, I turned on the radio. We had, of course, we didn't play that week, and I turned on the radio to listen to the pregame, and it was pretty tough listening to it, not being out there. And then last week, playing on Thursday night, I was able to get back for the game, and it was pretty cool watching the game from the stands for, well, it's been 5 years, I guess, since I've been able to watch them from the stands. But it's definitely neat, and, you know, definitely a big pride in playing for the Silver Streaks. And obviously I'm rooting them on week in and week out.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite part, your best memory about being a Streak?
Oh, boy, every Friday night really was just awesome. You know, playing in front of good crowds in the Western Big Six and playing tough players week in and week out.
Okay, well, good. Hope you enjoy a great career there at Western. I'm sure we'll be in touch a number of times, Ryan, and I'm glad you're off to a good start there. And keep healthy and have a good career there.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Ryan Ricketts, a graduate of the Silver Streaks last year, now with 11X at Western Illinois University in Macomb. We'll continue with more of our halftime coverage from Peoria and the second half coming up on Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL.
Local news now.
Art Boots will fill Galesburg Standish Park Arboretum tomorrow afternoon for the 25th annual Art in the Park. Executive Director of the Galesburg Civic Arts Center, Heather Norman, says 50 artists will sell their creative works while being judged for best in show, fine craft, and 2D or 3D. She tells WGIL the Emerging Artists Tent will offer works of 30 up-and-coming artists from the grade school to college level. Norman says the area's youth has really looked at art as a serious career. Art in the Park will feature dance, music, a food gallery, and, of course, art from 9 to 4 tomorrow. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn denies that party politics is playing a role in his decision to close 7 state facilities and lay off about 2,000 workers. Republicans are accusing Quinn of targeting Republican areas, but the Democrat, Quinn, says it's very clear he hasn't done that. 5 of the 7 facilities Quinn targeted to close have both a Republican state senator and a representative. I'm Kyle Schatzberger. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Kirsten McNary. A credible but unconfirmed Al-Qaeda terror threat leading to stepped-up security in New York and Washington.
It is conceivable they could do what they want to do, not big scale. So, you know, you say, well, it's credible. But we take everything seriously, even if it's something that's not that likely.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Intelligence officials looking for 3 people who may have traveled from Pakistan to Dubai to the U.S. Reflecting on the 9/11 attacks nearly 10 years on.
We learned in the most painful of ways about the human capacity for evil. But in the moments, months, and years since, we have seen in the compassion and generosity of people across the world the human capacity for good.
U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder speaking at a Justice Department ceremony. President Obama visiting Ground Zero, the Pentagon, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania on Sunday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
I came out and found it, and I don't even know that I found it the first day. I don't know when it happened, but all of a sudden I realized, hey, where'd that come from?
That's Gail Horton describing the unpleasant surprise she found waiting for her one day in the parking lot. Someone had run into the back of her car and left her with the mess. The pleasant surprise came when she experienced the ease of having her car fixed at Pete's Auto Body.
You go in something like that, and you're sad anyway. I mean, it's something you really don't want to address. And you walk in that door, and they look at the car, they make suggestions, give you a price, tell you what they'll need to do, how they'll do it, whether they'll have to order this or that. They call the insurance people for you, which I think is a tremendous plus. They take care of all paperwork. You have no responsibility at all.
In addition to ease, Gail found a delightful genuineness at Pete's.
They're fine, fine people. They have a lot of character. They're friendly. They're unpretentious. They're fair. They go a little beyond what they need to go beyond.
Pete's Auto Body across from Bowen's on Grand Avenue.
Coverage of St. Louis Cardinals baseball continues tomorrow night here on WGIL as the Redbirds take on the Atlanta Braves. Join us at 5:40 for pregame coverage Saturday on Galesburg Radio 14.
At Peoria Stadium, Brad Binowitz, Jim Lee with you. Nicole Olin, our broadcast engineer for Silver Streaks football. Second half ready to kick off momentarily. Just enough time to run through some first half statistics for you. The Lions of Peoria High School obviously dominating the game on the ground, leading the game 21-0. The Lions have run the ball 21 times in the first half for 162 yards. Eric Baird, the leading runner on the night, 9 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Harrison Hale with 6 carries, 36 yards. Terrell Shields has run it once for 19 yards. B.J. Gray, a couple of carries for 12 yards. And John Prentice, the quarterback, has lost a fumble and been sacked once, 3 carries for -8. Again, 21 carries, 162 yards on the ground in the first half for the Lions. They have just one pass play, John Prentice to Jordan Kaczynski on a 4th and goal from the Silver Streaks 3. They converted it for a touchdown. They also have a defensive interception return for a touchdown. That was Harrison Hale. So the Lions have been all over the Silver Streaks offensively and defensively. Silver Streaks have carried the ball 17 times for only 50 yards on the ground. John Mixon, 7 rushes for 30 yards. Cedric Washington, 5 carries for 11 yards. Will Anderson has 4 carries for 10. Trevon Diggins has run the ball only once tonight for -1. Anderson, 1 of 2 passing for 8 yards, his only completion to Cedric Washington. 3 penalties for Peoria Central for 15 yards. Silver Streaks have not been penalized yet tonight. Sorry we weren't able to work in a quick halftime interview with head coach Tim Doherty, but sometimes as the nature of halftimes go, you go on the road, you're never quite sure what the routine is going to be. But, Jim, I don't know if you had a chance to get much information down there.
No, it was basically...
I saw you visiting with him, but I don't think he had much time to talk.
Yeah, he was just basically saying we need to get this done because the clock's winding down, so he was... had some other things on his mind, so just let him go. And
then they put 3 minutes on the clock, so we actually could have had time, as it turned out.
Yeah, it's pretty good hall here. If you've ever been to Peoria Stadium, it's a real throwback. It's a good vantage point for the press box, but it's over in the big hood over the top of the stands, but it's the front of there. You go across a catwalk above all the stands and then downstairs to the back of the grandstand, then back down through the stands and onto the field. So I got my night's workout, if nothing else, on that one.
Yeah, we'll be ready for some ice cream after the game then, won't you? You've gotten your exercise in. Our name in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest here in the third quarter, Bonnie Reed of Galesburg. Silver Streaks shut out on the scoreboard so far, so we were not able to make winners of Josh Bland or Tom Doubleday of Galesburg, either one. Bonnie Reed of Galesburg, our name drawn here in the third quarter. If the Streaks score a touchdown, Bonnie will win a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. Her name also could be entered in the final drawing for a party sub from Hungry Hobo at the end of the football season. So if you're interested in a chance at winning that prize, just head out to Hungry Hobo on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Fill out the WGIL form, drop it in the box, and each week we'll draw 4 names for the Silver Streaks football games, 1 for each quarter with a chance to win that $10 gift certificate.
Well, both of these teams have been ready to play for 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think if you'd have taken a vote, they probably both would have said, all right, let's just line it up and have at it again here. But they're going to go ahead and let the clock wind down the usual amount. And we're just about to kick it off on what's been a tough night, to say the least, so far in the first half for Galesburg. And if
the official saying drop the final 29 seconds, let's go.
If the players...
But they're not dropping the final 29 seconds.
If the players had their way, they might not have heard whatever Mark Reed had to tell them, because he was some fired up. We were watching him and very animated, and whatever he was delivering to the players there at halftime. Most of the rest of the coaches seemed pretty mild-mannered, and but boy, Mark was definitely the emotional man on that halftime, and a little fire probably breathed into this team as they get set to kick off the second half.
He wore out a little grass beyond the end zone with his pacing back and forth during that little tirade. And
well, after
once he got done with that, he kept on pacing.
He got done yelling at the players. They went over and bent all the coaches' ears, too, that would listen to him. So I think it was one of those where he was ready to put a uniform back on himself. And he could play a little.
Yeah.
All those years at Monmouth College after his career at Galesburg, and a guy that could really get it done on the ground and through the air.
Drew Carlson's kickoff down the middle of the field goes on a high hop, and the Lions act like they want to hand off, and they do hand off to Julian Bailey trying to get to the outside, and that one just did not work. So the Streaks may have been able to scout that one out through the first two games of the season and maybe knew it was coming as B.J. Gray took the line drive and then jumped up to get it and then turned around like he wanted to toss it back to Bailey and looked at him and thought about tossing and looked at him some more. And by the time he finally gave it up, the Streak special teams were there.
Yeah, Gray had both arms outstretched coming off the field. Say, what? I think he thought whoever was behind him didn't do what he was supposed to do, so he was asking him those questions coming off the sideline because it actually made him look a little silly out there trying to hand off and nobody to hand it to.
All right, Prentice, the quarterback, has not been under center all night long. He's been in the shotgun, and he hands off to the first man through on the right side, the big fullback, Rob Walker, who barrels forward to the 27-yard line, so a good strong pickup of 7 on first down on Walker's first carry of the night.
Walker, a fullback build at 5'8" and 247 pounds. You know, I was reminded when I was talking with Ryan Ricketts, who you heard there at halftime, I'd forgotten the big fullback from Rock Island, Nico Watson, is his teammate now down there at Western.
Oh, that's right.
But as big and strong as Nico is, they said he was probably about number 5 on the depth chart.
Wow.
At Western, so that tells you how deep they are at running back.
Handoff goes to Bear to the right side. Streaks have slowed him down considerably since he marched all up and down the field over the Silver Streaks. He carried the ball the first six plays, rather, of the game, but he's gone negative yardage on the last two carries of the night, minus one here. Brings up 3rd and 6 for the Lions, who are 2 for 4 on third down tonight.
The tackle compliments of Dylan Hovind, a solo tackle that time for the Silver Streaks. And a big third down chance here for Galesburg to get a stop here to lead off the second half.
They had the ball to start off the second half, and now flags fly from the back judge. That's probably a delay of game. When he's the guy who throws the flag, that's often what it is. But now we're indicating timeout.
They must have got a timeout.
They
just
must have.
They're waving the flag off.
So the Lions have to burn a timeout only 96 seconds, rather 86 seconds, into the second quarter. So that's probably not the kind of play that's going to make Coach Tim Thornton very happy for the Lions. So third down upcoming. Get a reminder. NFL is underway. Real yawner of a game last night between the Packers and New Orleans to kick off the season. We've got the Bears for you on 92.7 FM, the Laser, coming up Sunday. Chicago opens the season at home against Atlanta. We'll have pregame coverage at 11:30 again on the Laser. Fighting Illini tomorrow against powerhouse South Dakota State at 11 a.m.
Hey, the Jackrabbits, not too bad.
No, they did all right last year. All right, 3rd and 4 upcoming for the Lions here. Coming out of their first timeout used. And out of the wideout spot, the handoff to the right side, and he gets stopped on the left side, reverses directions, and he is just mauled, pushed all the way back to the 15-yard line. Bad decision by Terrell Shield is when he stopped in the Streaks' pursuit, they just roared over the top of him for a loss of 4.
You know,
they tried that play in the first half, and it went for 19, but it went for minus 4 here.
Yeah, Malcolm, one of the leading tacklers there, but seriously, half the team was there. That was a true gang tackle, about 6 piled on there. So nice stop for Galesburg. The defense answers the bell in the second half. Let's see what the offense can do when they get it back here.
First time all night that the Lions have gone 4 and out. A big booming high kick by the punter, but it doesn't sail all that far in this humid weather. And then it takes a Galesburg roll, stopping short of the 50-yard line, and then rolled backwards into Lions territory out of bounds at the Peoria 46-yard line. So for only the second time tonight, the Silver Streaks have the ball in Lions territory. The previous time was after a Trevon Diggins kickoff return that started a drive in Lions territory. Now the Silver Streaks trying to put something together here as they get their first offensive possession of the second half. At 9:44 to go in the third quarter, trailing 21-0. And Will Anderson returns at quarterback for the Silver Streaks. Hand off to the backside, and again, Lions defense converging and just nowhere to go for the running backs in white.
Yep, no way to get any momentum there at all. Washington tried to spin off a couple of times, but every time he'd spin, there'd be another maroon jersey there to pound him down, and so you got to have a little bit better forward thrust if you're going to get anything done running the football than that.
Loss of a yard, second and 11 for the Silver Streaks, who gained only two first downs in the first half. Dakota Smith splits out wide to the right side of the field. Jake Innes to the near side of the field. Diggins in the slot as Anderson steps back into the shotgun. And a high snap over his head. Washington scoops it up on a bounce, but he is in trouble. Back behind the Galesburg 45-yard line. So the drive starts in Lions territory. And now after the high snap over Anderson's head, the Streaks lose ground all the way back to their own 43, a loss of 11, yes.
Yeah, Will never had a chance on that. He was fortunate that Cedric Washington was back there with him. I'm not sure Will would have been able to turn around and get it, but Washington saw it all the way, got it on the bounce, but had no chance with a good job by the Peoria line to just shoot right up the middle there and stuff it.
So now third and long, they hand off to Washington, who didn't get much of a hole across left tackle. And he only gets back to the Galesburg 45 for a gain of two. So both teams go three and out on their opening possession of the second half. And the Streaks, after the defense, got a great stop on the Lions on three plays and out. Start the second half, the pendulum, as Coach Tim Doherty will say, swings right back to the Lions as the defense shuts down the Silver Streaks. Under 8 minutes to go, third quarter. Brackett's last punt in the first half was a shank. This one looked like it started off well, but got up into that dense, humid air. Didn't sail very far, but then when it dropped down just short of the 30-yard line, it rolled another 12 yards downfield. The Lions take over just inside their own 20. 7:42 to go, third quarter. Silver Streaks trail 21-0, Jim.
Yeah, the offense obviously going in reverse on that particular trip, and we don't really have a whole lot of room to play with here. We're down three touchdowns, and Peoria team that's going to keep it on the ground, and even if they only get a couple of first downs every time they get the ball, they're going to chew a lot of that clock up. So Streaks going to have to start making the most of their opportunities here.
Handoff goes to the right side, Baird the tailback, hits off one high tackle, crosses the 20, stopped just short of the 25-yard line. He'll pick up five on first down, another good hard run by the tailback. Eric Baird, again, we told you early in the game, he's just a junior at 6'1", 176, so the Streaks will see him again next year at Van Dyke Field when these two teams meet up again in Game 3, and then, as you found out early before the game started with Coach Tim Thornton, that'll be the last time again. So we play him for a few years, we don't play him for a couple years, play him for a few, drop him, play him for a few more, and they're off the schedule again after next year.
Yeah, there's not many non-conference teams outside of Richwoods that we've been able to keep year after year.
A pitch on the option into the backfield. Baird in pursuit, and the Streaks stretch him out to the sideline. He never could cut up field and turn the corner. Carlson and Washington in pursuit. Take him down short of the first down marker at the 30. He'll be stopped at the 29. It'll be third and one.
I don't know. Maybe it's Peoria Central is wearing these all maroon uniforms with white numbers, and we think it's Moline over there, who we haven't beaten in a couple of decades.
1992 was the last time.
And about the size
these
Moline
kids weren't even
is.
Alive now that yeah. I think about it.
Moline's usually about the same size as these guys.
Yep.
But whatever the case, we're not getting it done here so far tonight.
Third and one from the Lions' 29-yard line. We have whistles just as the play gets stopped, and that's too bad because Baird was going to be stopped in the backfield. Hopefully this will be a penalty against the Lions, and they are going to march it off 5 yards, it looks like. Illegal procedure, false start against the Lions. So the play actually never happened. Otherwise, you better believe the Silver Streaks would have decline that penalty if they could have, because Baird was going nowhere and the Streaks would have gotten it back on a punt. But third and six, better odds here for a stop.
A scenic spot here at Peoria Stadium when you look off to your right on what's become a, well, a little more of a clear night after some early rain, but a lot of traffic over there on War Memorial Drive, and really like this facility, even though it's antiquated in many ways, but it's still a fun place to watch a ball game.
And a great place to watch it when we're high up in the press box. A pass downfield. What a great job by Cedric Washington getting in front of the tight end Josh Augusta, who had sprinted upfield, and Washington fronted him, almost got the interception, but he did what he really needed to do and just knocked the ball down. And now fourth down with the ball resting at the Lions' 24-yard line. Streaks should get pretty good field position again.
The stadium will get used again tomorrow. Manuel plays a Saturday game here. And that's not all that unusual in Peoria, where they share a couple of numerous teams.
Jordan Kaczynski inside his 10, waiting for the long snap. Standing at the 9, a good snap. Boots it away at the 12. Gets a lot into it, but again, in this heavy air, doesn't go very far. The Streaks have to back away from it, as a lot of players were bunched right in where that ball came down. It takes a Lions roll down to the 39, close to the 38. They down it there. 6:33 to go in the third quarter. Streaks trying to get on the board, trailing the Lions 21 to nothing.
Hungry Hobo has doled out quite a few sandwiches in the first couple of weeks, but so far tonight, really haven't even come close. What's been our deepest penetration tonight? Maybe the 40-yard line? Do we even get that far?
I haven't even gotten that far. Huh. Nope. Started the last drive at the Lions 46, and then went backwards two plays back into their own territory. Had a drive earlier that started at the Lions 46, but that one didn't go far either. Pitch to Trevon Diggins, trying to get to the outside, runs over one man, and he's dragged down from the backside across the 40 to the 45-yard line. Good pickup on first down by Trevon, a gain of 7 on only his second carry of the night. So it'll be second and we'll call it 4.
We were talking earlier that first game against Kelly, we were able to, of course, we had a little more time to get the ball out, but some swing passes and running our backs out of the backfield, throwing some passes to them, getting them into the open field, but haven't seen too much of that here tonight.
Hand off to the left side as it goes to John Mixon, and he stopped. He might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage at the 45 and then pushed backwards. The Lions have just stuffed the Silver Streaks running game here tonight. Their biggest run of the evening was 8 yards by Mixon in the first half.
Well, it makes you respect how good Washington must be, because they throttled this Peoria team first week, and then, of course, Washington turned around and held off a rather desperate Richwood's team last week to win again. And actually, Washington's rated number 2 in the state
two,
in their class.
Right. Yep. Woolsey in motion, lines up left tight, now right tight end. I formation behind Anderson on 3rd and 4 from the Galesburg 45. Hand off to Diggins, hole, got us some running room into Lions territory. Best run of the night for the Silver Streaks, down to the Lions 42-yard line.
Yep, good job on all accounts there. The line did their job, gave him a little running room, and you give Trevon some running room and good things will happen. He bruised his way up across got across midfield down to that 42. So this is our best position of the night, I guess.
Gain of 13 for Trevon Diggins. Again, only his third carry of the night. Had one for -1 in the first half, but he's got 2 carries for 17 yards in the second half. Under 5 to play in the third quarter. Streaks trail 21 to nothing. Out of the eye, the handoff to the dot. That's Diggins. Gets to the outside. And a high tackle brought down at the shoulder pads, almost at the helmet level, inside the 35-yard line to the 34. Another good gain on first down. It'll be 2nd and 2 as Diggins picks up 8.
Peoria runs the cavalry. Ross, who's been doing a nice job on the defensive line as well tonight. So two of their better defenders in for this down, 2nd down, and about 2.
Ennis and Smith, the wideouts. Ennis to the near side, the home side. Smith to the far side, right in front of the Galesburg sideline. Instead, the handoff goes to Mixon, the up man. Gets down low, pushes his way forward, and the pile still moves across the 30, down to the 27-yard line as Mixon was stopped short of the line of scrimmage, but the surge helps the Streaks advance the chains. Gain of 8 more for John Mixon. So the Streaks get a third down conversion, and now the pendulum swinging a little more to their side. 3:45 to go in this third quarter. Galesburg trying to get on the board, trailing by 3 touchdowns. From the 27-yard line of the Peoria Central Lions. Single setback formation. 2 wideouts to the top of the field. Handoff right, nothing there. Absolutely nothing for Mixon. Well, as soon as he got the handoff, he was stopped.
The only way you're going to get any yardage out of that is if you catch the defense thinking pass. Because, it's a turnover.
They called that a fumble, apparently. That
happened late in the play.
The Streaks are huddling back. They think they've got the ball. They don't even realize there's been a change of possession. And now the Streaks are looking at the sideline saying, what? Mixon's got his arms out in disbelief. The Streaks were completely clueless that that was a turnover. They had no indication at all that that was a fumble, nor did we from up here. But we saw the officials point the other way. So the Lions get it back on the Galesburg turnover.
Now, that's a tough break. We were just finally moving the ball, getting our act together there. And then, I don't know, you'd like to see that one again. Seemed like an awful late in the play call.
So the handoff goes to the outside. Now this one pops free. And it looks like the Silver Streaks might have fallen on it just short of the 30-yard line.
And they did.
And they do.
Coming up with the ball for the Silver Streaks off the bottom of the pile.
Dylan Hovind.
Dylan Hovind. So I guess that's a turnabout fair play there. I didn't feel like we probably deserved the turnover the play before, and they got it right back. Stripped it from the big guy, too. Josh Augusta had it, the big tight end, and Streaks used a gang tackle there, 3 or 4 guys all over him, and then somebody able to strip that ball out of there. Now his teammates, that's Augusta's teammates, all over there patting him on the back, saying, that's all right, big guy, just bear down and play defense.
Back to pass, Will Anderson looking to the near sideline. Wide open, Jake Innes caught and taken down at the first down marker at the 20-yard line. Well, if he stepped out of the room at all, ran into the kitchen to get something, took a potty break, you missed 2 turnovers while you were gone. Now the Streaks have a first down, and slow to get up coming off the field for the Lions, Harrison Hale. He's a little woozy. Helped off a little bit to the near sideline. Streaks have a first down now at the 20-yard line. On only the second pass completion of the night, Anderson, this time to Jake Innes.
This third quarter, it looks like we belong on the field with Peoria. We played them pretty even up here in this third period so far.
Rolling out. Hand off to Washington. Cuts back across the middle and then stopped after a gain of 2 and pushed backward. Again, those holes for the Lions close very quickly. You get excited from the high perch that we have up here. We can see the hole there, and Washington found it, but just as soon as he found it, looked like he might go for a little bit. It gets shut down quickly for a gain of 2. Good to see Will Anderson still on the field, as he took a hit late in the first half that had the officials screaming for the Streaks trainers to get over very quickly. Anderson popped up moments later and stayed on his feet the rest of the half and most of halftime and looks fine out there in the third quarter. Hand off to the right side. No, he keeps it. Gets an opening. Cuts back to the middle. Tripped up at the goal line. He's got a touchdown. The Lions bit for the fake. They went after Trevon Diggins. Anderson went to the outside, then cut back the middle of the field, and the Streaks are on the scoreboard for an 18-yard touchdown run.
Good timing, Brad. You were just talking about Will Anderson and how he looks fine and never looks finer than when he took off up the middle with that ball. Made a nice run, cut to the right, and was able to angle his way past a tackler and into the end zone. And the Silver Streaks, with an impressive drive with just under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, have gotten themselves back in the game.
After the phantom turnover, they get it right back and kept the drive alive. Anderson's first running touchdown of the season. Now the kick goes left, and Drew Anderson is down. And he's back up. He was rolling on the field for a bit. We have a flag down, and I think we're going to have roughing the kicker because he was in some agony. Now he's doubled over again as he took a shot on that one. That's going to be roughing the kicker, so the Streaks will get another crack at the extra point. And that's a scare.
Well,
after Anderson got hurt last
Carlson,
year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Carlson.
Yeah, because he and it really hurt the team when we lost him last year for those final games. And
he's still winded. He's still trying to walk this one off.
Yep. But they should move it a little closer to the goal. We'll get a second chance to kick it. Or, I don't know, maybe this close to the goal line, we'll go ahead and go for the two-point conversion. Although, at 21-6, as long as Carlson still is able to kick, which seems like he should be fine, we'll go ahead and kick it.
So this will take him in about 2.5 yards. 158 is where we are in the third quarter. A high snap. The ball is down. The kick is up, and it's good. Streaks now trail 21-7. 158 to go in the third quarter. Just a three-play scoring drive, 31 yards. Anderson finishes off the final 18 on the ground on his own. And the Silver Streaks now trail by two touchdowns. 21-7, Lions on top. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL at WGIL.com.
I'm Adam Vitale from G&M Distributors, and this is how we live United. G&M has been participating with United Way employee payroll deduction program for over 20 years now because it's an opportunity for our employees to give back to the communities in which we serve. The United Way is an organization my father, Guy Vitale, truly believed in. He served on its board. He encouraged his staff to donate to the United Way and kind of built a legacy with the United Way and G&M Distributors. The United Way is very easy for employers to participate. Employees come in one morning a year, just fill out one form. They can even choose a specific organization or program they want their resources to go to. Every human being likes to donate something. The money given to the United Way in Knox County stays here, makes a difference in our community through the many organizations and programs it supports. Many of these programs would otherwise not be possible. Over 80% of our employees give back to the United Way. We're exceptionally proud of that.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Learn more at unitedway-galesburg.net. Brought to you by the United Way of Knox County.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
Keeping you informed 24 hours a day. Galesburg Radio 14.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
WGIL.
Trevon Diggins with a handoff. Yes, Trevon Diggins for the Silver Streaks with a handoff from the Lions 35 down to the 20-yard line. While we were away in a long break, the Lions fumbled the Galesburg kickoff. Cedric Washington recovers for the Silver Streaks, and on the first play of this series, a 15-yard run, make it a 16-yard run for Trevon Diggins inside the Lions 20 to the 19, and that takes us down to 1:40 to go in the third quarter.
And it forces a timeout by Peoria, their second of the half, and they're on their heels right now. And you kind of get the feeling, of course, the Silver Streaks have been playing much more inspired here in the third quarter, and it looked to me like this Lions team kind of felt like they had this thing in the bag at halftime, and I think they're trying to rally the troops there. Coach Thornton and company trying to breathe a little life back into this Lions team that's starting to doubt themselves out there, have had two straight turnovers, and the Silver Streaks, if they can capitalize here, really make a game of it. If they can get this thing in, make it 21-14, we still got over a quarter to go, a minute 40 left in the third period.
And you look at what the Silver Streaks defense has done in this second half. The Lions have three offensive possessions. They have three plays and a punt twice, a fumble, and now a fumble on a kickoff. Fake handoff up the middle. Diggins gets dragged at the line of scrimmage, dives forward for a gain of two. And how about Trevon Diggins here in this second half? Six carries for 59 yards after one carry for minus one in the first half. Well, Cedric Washington with the biggest play of the game so far with the recovered fumble on the kickoff.
You start to wonder if maybe Silver Streaks conditioning might not be a little bit better at this point. Galesburg looks to be the team with a little more breath out there.
Out of the eye, Diggins again across the right side, gets down low. He's pushing hard as he gets stood up and fights his way down to the 15-yard line. Another decent gain on what looked to be not much there for Trevon Diggins. They're going to mark him just inside the 15 to the 14, so he picks up three more, and it'll be third and four.
Of course, Peoria was the team that had the big fourth quarter there last week against East Peoria, scoring three touchdowns and blowing that game open. But tonight, the Silver Streaks trying to do the same thing back to the Lions and have a big second-half run here and get over the top. Right now, though, still down two touchdowns. Third down and five for the Streaks.
Galesburg 3 for 10 on third down conversions tonight from the Peoria Central 14. A hole across left tackle. Diggins gets tackled from behind. That pushes him forward across the 10. Very close to the first down marker.
I think he's going to be just shy.
I think so, too. It's going to be fourth and inches.
And I think that was the thinking in the handoff, though, is get what yards you can and go for it on fourth down rather than throw an incomplete pass and then be looking at fourth and five. We'll change ends, and the Streaks in business.
Down 21-7 at the end of three. Galesburg fourth and inches inside the Lions' 10-yard line. When we come back for fourth quarter action from Peoria Stadium on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Missing a minute can cost you big time. Tune in for the Clark Howard Show. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Well, Coach Tim Doherty talks about pendulum swings. There really was no swinging in the first half. The pendulum just rested on Peoria Central side of the field and never moved. The Lions led the Silver Streaks 21-0 at halftime. Galesburg is poised to take charge here in the second half, but a big fourth and inches inside the Lions' 10-yard line, down 21-7. And here comes the Lions' defense charging, going for the blitz, and they go off sides, and the Streaks have a first and goal inside the Lions' 5.
Well, just another case in point about how, well, the officials
Uh-oh.
Still talking this over.
Yeah.
The Peoria players are clapping.
Yes,
they
are.
Maybe somebody from Galesburg drew them off sides. Now, these guys are sure taking their time about deciding this. Well, the scoreboard's already given us. No, it's still fourth and one on the board.
They are all huddling up and really talking this over for a long time.
Big call in this game, obviously. Will it be first and goal, or will it be fourth down and six?
Six, yeah. In the meantime, the coaching staff taking an opportunity to use this as a timeout with a long discussion with quarterback Will Anderson on the sideline. They're not even looking at the officials right now. Here comes the call. A big one. It is a false start. Wait a minute.
There we go.
It's offsides against Peoria Central. And a false start against Galesburg. Now, wait a minute.
Oh, come on.
And now they're marching it off against Galesburg.
And now they're going to march it back off. It's 5 yards each way, you guys. What? That's ludicrous.
It's either one or the other. It can't be both, can it?
Well, then why do you go through the exercise of walking it back 5 yards and then up 5 yards?
In that long discussion down there, they just must not have been able to agree on whose fault it was.
I hope that's not the debt reduction super committee down there.
All right, so we're back to fourth and inches after all that. Anderson barking out plays. Streaks are packed in tight. The handoff to Mixon. He's got the first down. He's still on his feet, stopped at the 7-yard line, and the Streaks have first and goal.
Yeah, Mixon got the first down initially. He was trying to run up the back of I can tell who was blocking over
down?
There.
The helmet came up. Boy, John Mixon loses his helmet more than anybody I've ever seen. Apparently seems to be all right.
But he picked up a couple extra yards on it, and now so the big first down and goal just into the fourth quarter. Plenty of time left for Galesburg, but we've got to come up with some points on this one, you would think.
So credit him with a gain of two. It'll be first and goal for the Silver Streaks from the Lions' 8-yard line. 10 carries for 39 yards for John Mixon. Streaks line up in the eye. Mixon, the up man, with Washington, the tailback. Innes wide out to the near side. The handoff to Washington. A hole. He spins off a hit to the 5-yard line.
That one looked like it was going to go for more than it did. That hole closed up and only picked up a yard or two out of it after I thought initially he might have a gap all the way to the goal line.
Sure.
Good reaction defense as they scramble to try and compose themselves here. They've been on the field most of the second half. Their offense hasn't run many plays at all.
Cedric Washington gains 2. It'll be second and goal from the 6. Has 9 carries, only 4 yards tonight. They give it to him again across left tackle, and
boy,
he's hit at the 5 and just blasted backwards.
He got crushed by Josh Augusta, big number 97. Talked about him a lot in the pregame and during the game, and he just threw Mixon back. And now with Diggins in the ballgame, you got to think maybe we got to get a touch for him because he's the lightning in a bottle. We need some sort of big play here. We got Eckler back at the 6-yard line right now on 3rd and goal.
Diggins has been the guy with positive yardage tonight. 8 carries for 66 yards in the second half. Streaks picked up only 50 yards on the ground in the first half. Out of the offset eye with Mixon the up man. Back to pass. Anderson rolling out in pursuit. Throws it into the end zone and underthrows Ennis, I believe, on the near side as he dove back for it. Good coverage in the corner. Ennis came back for it, but it was underthrown. It'll be 4th down from the Lions' 6-yard line.
Well, too bad that he had locked on to Mixon there, and that's a young quarterback with not a lot of varsity experience. Colton Wolsey was running wide open in the back of the end zone there. If he could have seen Colton, got him the ball, it would have been an easier throw and probably a quick 6, but he was pretty well locked on to what the play call was, and that was to Mixon, and underthrew him as Mixon was sliding in the back of the end zone.
10:14 to go in the game. Silver Streaks trail 21-7. Big 4th and goal from the Lions' 6-yard line on the 9th play of the drive. Fake handoff. Anderson has to tuck it in. The ball gets knocked loose. Still a scramble for it. The Lions pick it up. They want to run downfield, but the officials say the knee was down inside the Lions' 20-yard line. So Peoria Central takes over. Streaks did not look composed on that 4th down play. And the Lions take over on downs. I guess officially it's a fumble, but with the Streaks not converting, the Lions were going to get it back anyway, and they've got it at their own 17 with 10:06 to go in the game, and now the Streaks defense really needs to come back big, get a big 3-and-out here quickly, and try to keep this pendulum swinging on their side.
Well, it's always easy to second guess, but I don't know how we get in that position and don't get the ball in the hands of Diggins at least once or twice in 4 downs.
See what the Lions do. Handoff up the middle. Baird trying to get to the outside, and the Streaks have really looked to be inspired defensively now. Wrap him up at the line of scrimmage.
Hovind again.
Baird got maybe a yard out of the play, and it'll be 2nd and 9.
Yeah, Dillon is dominating his man on that defensive side of the ball. He's come up big on a number of occasions here and really limited time in this second half because the defense has not had to be on the field very often after, as you said, a couple of 3-and-outs and 2 turnovers by Peoria.
Baird, 13 carries for 116 yards, but only 4 carries for 9 yards in this second half. Man in motion lining up to the right of the quarterback. That's B.J. Walker. Back to pass. Looking downfield.
Oh,
and deflected and picked off by Cedric Washington. Another turnover, and the Streaks get it back at the 20-yard line.
Who deflected that, Diggins? Because somebody deflected it early, and I thought that was the best chance for the interception. It hung up in the air, and then Washington was able to haul it in.
So Washington with a fumble recovery on the Lions' kickoff, and now an interception after the deflection, and the Streaks get a new set of downs at the Lions' 20 with 9:13 to go in the game, but still trailing 21-7.
It's interesting the way they've got the Lions second-guessing themselves and unable to run the ball in the second half. They go to a pass play there and a dangerous one that cost them an interception.
Only the 2nd pass play of the night for the Lions. The fake handoff to Washington. Anderson on the keeper rolling to the right. Picks up maybe a yard just inside the 20.
Looked pretty much like the play that scored us the touchdown here on the other end, but Peoria wised up and collapsed inside that time. It wouldn't let Anderson go any farther.
2nd down from the Lions' 19-yard line. We're in the 4th quarter. Ruth Ann Johnson of Galesburg can get a little fired up here with the Streaks inside the red zone of the Lions. You are our 4th quarter Hungry Hobo touchdown contestant. Ruth Ann Johnson of Galesburg. If the Streaks can finish off these final 19 yards, get within a touchdown of the Lions, will make her a winner in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. Fake handoff to the up man. The second man through gets buried before he even gets to the line of scrimmage. That's the tailback, Washington, who's had a hard time finding any openings for the Silver Streaks tonight. He loses 3, and it'll be 3rd and 12 for the Silver Streaks, and now the Lions' defense is pumped up.
Sandwich that time, Julian Bailey and Josh Augusta on either side. No room to run, and Silver Streaks need to get a little more creative in their play calling here on 3rd down and 13 if they want to get anything done.
Colton Woolsey lines up as a tight end right. Streaks send out 3 wideouts to the far side of the field, the top of the field. Washington, Dakota Smith, and Innes. The handoff goes as Mixon covers it up, tries to get to the outside. He almost got away with it, but the Lions realize quickly enough what was happening, and they converge on him, stop him at the 15-yard line for a gain of 7, and it's 4th and 5. Running to the short side of the field, Mixon covered up the ball very well as Anderson hit it well on the handoff, but they couldn't get the final 5 yards they needed for a new set of downs, so it'll be 4th down from the Lions 15.
Yeah, this is crucial here. That clock's still running down at 7 minutes now, and if we don't get this conversion, we're still looking at down 2 scores, and they'll have the ball. We need this desperately.
After the Streaks got a 1st and goal at the Lions 6 on the last possession and could not score, now we have a delay of game against the Silver Streaks. The back judge threw the flag, so that's a time management situation, a problem for the Silver Streaks. Stops the clock momentarily with 7:05 to go in the game and backs them up to 4th and 11 now, just outside the 20-yard line.
If hitting the road on
Streaks
two wheels
to get just inside the 10
is your passion,
for a first down,
make sure you are properly protected with affordable motorcycle insurance from Craddy Insurance, your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Hi, I'm Mike Craddy. Ask about money-saving discounts that won't sacrifice coverage and won't put a big dent in your budget either. Cycle Auto Discount, VIP Preferred Rider Discount, and Motorcycle Driver Education Discount can all help save money.
Call your local Pekin Insurance Agency, Craddy Insurance.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIN.
Pretty much up the middle. He's still on his feet, but the officials blew the play dead, stopping the forward progress right at the 20. So a traditional, rather conservative handoff, and Washington has just found nothing open on the line tonight. He's 12 carries for only 2 yards total.
Well, it is too bad that's all we've got. I mean, if we can't do better on that on 4th down, if we have no passing game whatsoever, which apparently we don't, it's going to be a long season. You've got to be able to make something happen, or at least to try to make something happen through the air, because if all you can do is try and run up the middle against a great big team like this on 4th and 10, that's tough.
So 6:55 to go in the game is when the Lions take over again behind John Prentice, the quarterback. Out of the snap, and a flag flies just as they get the play off, and Eric Baird, the tailback, who got the handoff, throws his head up in the air as if to say, oh, I finally had some room to run. And they blow the play dead. Likely a false start it is against the Lions. So this Lions offense is still trying to find something that will work for them here in the second half. Their lead all on the strength of 3 first-half touchdowns and the fact that their defense has stopped the Galesburg Silver Streaks twice in the red zone for no points here in the second half. Josh Augusta, the big tight end, lines up as a wide receiver. Handoff to Baird, trying to get to the outside. He slowed down and then hit short of the 15-yard line. Dives forward across the 15 for a gain of 1 yard, maybe 2. Kellen Malcolm, who gets a start at the linebacker spot this week with Matt Kitch out with an injury, is the one who makes the stop there. 2nd and 14 upcoming.
It's a pretty cleanly played ball game through that first half. We're seeing a lot more penalties, stoppages of play here in this fourth quarter especially. Clock, though, running now at 6:21. I guess actually with all those stoppages of play, those are your friend when you're down a couple of touchdowns.
Right now they are. Baird still desperately trying to find some running room here in the second half. 5 carries for only 10 yards. Handoff to the right. They give it to Augusta, the tight end, and He gets stopped pretty well close to the line of scrimmage, maybe advanced the ball another half a foot or so. But
number of streaks in there, Robbie Dower is the one that finally finished him off. So
they do give him a gain of a yard, and it's third and 13 now for the Lions. And the streaks again looking for a big defensive stop with a chance to force a punt and get good field position and maybe do something with it this time. Ball sitting just across the Lions, or the Galesburgs, I'm sorry, the Lions 16-yard line. 5:30 to go in the fourth quarter, third and 13. One man in motion, but instead it's the Prentice, the quarterback keeper, and he breaks free into the secondary, and a foot race, and Malcolm gets slowed down by the defender, and Prentice is taking it all the way.
Prentice did a great job of hiding the ball. Most of the defense went towards the running back. Prentice gets up into the middle of the field, and Malcolm, I think he was going to catch him there, Brad, but there was one blocker for, I think it was Denari Ellis, was able to just turn around, and as you said, Malcolm, in trying to elude the blocker, there was no contact, but he kind of stumbled, and that's all it took to give Prentice, with those long strides, enough time to get all the way to the end zone and seal this game. 27-7 now, Peoria with an extra point coming.
What a backbreaker. 2 weeks in a row, we have seen the Galesburg Silver Streaks come out in the second half, trying to come back from a deficit, dominate the line of scrimmage, move the ball downfield, not score, and then give up one big play for a touchdown that basically erases any chance of a victory. The extra point is good. It's 28-7 Lions with 5:14 to play in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan? Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering, screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breed Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breed Loves Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
I'm WGIL News Director Will Stevenson. News tips, story ideas, comments, questions, we welcome them all. Email us anytime, news@WGIL.com.
Last week, the Galesburg Silver Streaks trailed Morton at halftime, 24-7. Came out half of the third quarter and got no points. One play and 71 yards later, Morton made it 31-7. Now
there,
here's Trevon Diggins juggling the kickoff and then finally run down from behind at the 45-yard line. But one play, the only offensive play Morton ran the entire third quarter last week, was a 72-yard touchdown run that made it 31-7, and you knew at that point Silver Streaks were pretty well done. They still did score twice in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't enough. Now here tonight, they get down the Lions. They do not score. They get the ball back after an interception, do not score, and then one big play, an 84-yard touchdown run by the quarterback, John Prentice. Now Trevon Diggins juggles the swing pass to the outside and drops it incomplete. And they go from a chance to make it 21-14 with all the momentum on their side. The Lions had been able to do nothing offensively in the second half. But when they don't score on the second time, one big play, and you go from being potentially down one touchdown to being down three touchdowns with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, and really looking at your schedule is what's coming up next week. Trying to play the final 5 minutes hard, but any chance to win this one went out the door as Prentice took it the house the other way.
From their own 45-yard line, handoff up the middle. Diggins had the legs going, but just couldn't quite get the momentum going forward. He does advance the ball to the 50 for a gain of 5, and it'll be 3rd and 5 coming up.
Next week, the most winnable of the Western Big Six conference games, with the battle of United Township on the road at the Soul Bowl in East Moline.
Trevon Diggins, 10 carries for 70 yards tonight. One from minus one in the first half. All positive yardage in the second half. Streaks need five here to advance the chains. And Anderson fakes the handoff to Diggins, and he was stopped in the backfield before he could even have a chance to try to break that one forward. He loses a yard, and the Streaks, just like that, face fourth down.
In most games, but especially this one, if you go to the line of scrimmage and hesitate, you're done. You're just done. These guys, too physical up front, they are going to grab you and just slam you backwards. You got to hit that hole hard, whatever happens, but don't stop your feet.
Down three touchdowns, the Streaks line up to go for it on fourth and six from their own 49-yard line. That one didn't look right, and we had a quick kick anyway. As the Streaks offensive line, about all five of them were moving forward before the snap, so that's going to be a false start. Only the second penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks, and they may just go ahead and line up in traditional punt formation now. With 3:43 to play in the game, Lions leading 28-7.
And they will go with that traditional punt, as you mentioned. Drop Brackett back there and see what he can do with it one more time.
Good chance to thank again one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, as Brackett scoops up the punt off the ground. The rush was on, and he gets a nice one away. Takes a big Galesburg roll. Silver Streaks chasing it down all the way to the 3-yard line. How about that?
That'll help his average.
That goes as a net of 53.
Ready for the big time with that one.
And again, our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Peoria tonight. They might not get this Nissan Maxima back.
Yeah, it's. We've driven a number of very nice cars, but I think this is the best one we've ever had. It has just got the whole package. Just an exciting car. You get in it, and you don't want to get out. I mean, it's so comfortable. The engine is so strong. You got a Bose sound system in there. I mean, you sell your house. You just live in it.
Yes, and just to prove the point that you don't want to get out, here's a miscommunication on the handoff, and the Streaks recover it in the end zone. After all those offensive opportunities, Drew Carlson falls on a bad snap to the quarterback in the end zone, and the Streaks get a defensive touchdown out of the deal. But credit the Tyler Brackett punt for putting the Lions back in that position where that miscommunication allows the Streaks to get a score and make a winner of Ruth Ann Johnson of Galesburg in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest.
You even win for a defensive touchdown,
absolutely.
Huh?
You score a touchdown, you win.
Yeah, that's something. This has been a weird fourth quarter.
So the Streaks score with 3:19 to go in the game on the Lions' fourth turnover of the second half. A fumbled punt as Carlson's kick soars through the uprights. A fumble earlier, an interception, and now a fumbled snap. So Carlson gets all the points there. And it's now 28-14. And how those missed offensive opportunities really hurt now. The Lions fumble inside their own 3-yard line. The ball falls loose in the end zone, and Carlson recovers.
Well, and I don't know which team is the bigger enigma right now. Is it the Silver Streaks who just got dominated in the first half but looked like they were really the equal of this Peoria team in a good part of the second half? Or is Peoria more the team you try and figure out? Because in the first half, I thought, at halftime, I thought, you know, these guys can play with anybody over here. But then in the second half, it just has not been. They've had some defensive stands and some individual plays, but offensively, they've really struggled outside of the one long run by Prentice, the quarterback. And, that was a real muff to just hand us a touchdown. You can't afford to do that. Especially if they get in a close game against Richwoods or Manuel or something.
Streaks lining up for the onside kick. The Lions didn't realize it right away, and then Carlson's kick doesn't even go the requisite 10 yards. And it actually bounced off Trevon Diggins, I think, back here at the 45-yard line. The officials never even saw that.
And it still only went about 6 yards.
Yeah.
Maybe seven.
Didn't even get to the 50. The ball sitting at the Galesburg 48. So now the official, you know, they're pointing one direction. Referee walks back to something's down over there. Probably one of the bean bags, I guess, for the... Maybe they did catch the contact over there.
You know, did do like they did earlier and mark it off 5 yards one way and then walk it back 5 yards the other and set it down.
The Lions will take over at the Galesburg, just short of the 45-yard line. So the onside kick effort does not pay off. In fact, never even had a chance.
Tackle for the Streaks. Robbie Dower's in there again, and you can bet Galesburg is tackling the ball at this point, doing anything to try and strip that thing out of there and get another turnover as the clock goes under 3 minutes to play in the fourth quarter.
Silver Streaks have all three of their timeouts remaining if they can get a big defensive stop here. But the clock continuing to roll with 2:45. They need a defensive stop right now on second and four. Another good snap, handoff to Baird. He's got the first down, and almost more as he's finally wrapped up from behind just as he was about to break free across the 30. Streaks got him from the backside.
Carlson got him. Drew slow to get up again. He's taking another pounding out there tonight.
Lions will have the ball. New set of downs at the 27. Right between the 27 and the 28-yard line. So that win is a gain of 12. Baird has found some running room here on these last two carries. Two carries for 18 yards after he'd gone. Prevent the strip. Takes it down to the 20. It'll be second and three coming up here.
You know, a couple, three more snaps, barring a stoppage of play by the Silver Streaks. Ought to do it. The clock at 1:45 and counting here.
And that deep into the game, I don't anticipate Tim Doherty would call timeout. Had they gotten a stop very quickly previously, maybe. But not now. Streaks show blitz, handoff right. Baird steps left. He's going to go for the touchdown. Up the sideline to the corner. Nope. Carlson caught up to it. Looked like
angle.
He had it, yep.
Got him out at the 2-yard line, it looks like.
Drew dives for him, slow to get up out of bounds. But the Lions had first and goal at the 3. That's a pride tackle right there. Don't give it up. And Drew didn't.
Yeah, it did look for all the world like it was going to be a touchdown when he slid off to the left side there and had the sideline. And no white jerseys around, but again, Carlson with some good hustle coming off the linebacker spot, angled over there, able to knock him out of bounds. And Peoria with it's always a pleasure when you're the team you're going towards the scoreboard. You're ahead by two touchdowns. You got it in the bag. It's kind of a fun time of the night to play football looking at that scoreboard.
Minute 26 to go in the game. Augusta in motion. Handoff to Baird right. Works his way back toward the middle. Gets stopped at about the 2 and pushed backwards.
O'Brien Allen stands him up right about the 2-yard line. Says, not on my watch on this carry. They may get it in yet, but I guess they're going to mark it down about the, what, 1.5?
Just inside the 2, yeah. Second and goal from the Silver Streaks 2.
Starting to see a few drips of rain again. Not a lot, but just drip here and there.
In the last five carries, first five carries of the second half, Baird had only 10 yards. The last five carries, he's now picked up 43. As he's marched this downfield from the Galesburg 45 down to the 2 with 40 seconds to go. And a flat and a whistle just as the snap gets underway. And a timeout called by the Lions. Their final timeout with 35 seconds to go. Okay?
Make sure and punch this in now.
Right.
Jeez. Yeah, they had to use two defensive timeouts in the third quarter.
Well, and remember the first one was what?
Yeah, that
minute
was
and a half
yeah,
into the
right.
second half.
And at that point, it didn't look like any big deal. It was 21-0. But then after the Streaks got their offense moving a little bit, forced Central to take a timeout on the second drive to kind of regroup a little bit. After that was really when Diggins started to run the ball some, and they had to figure out a way to slow him down. And so now they burn their final timeout here, this time on offense, trying to punch it in one more time, already up by two touchdowns, 35 seconds to go here at Peoria Stadium.
Reminder, Fighting Illini football tomorrow.
Comedian Tim Bedore returns to the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg
for our
tomorrow
coverage
night.
Here on Galesburg Radio 14, South Dakota State, the opponent for the Illini. And now coming out of the Lions timeout, with 35 seconds to go in the game and a 28-14 Peoria Central lead. Lions will go to 2-1 on the season with their second consecutive win. The Streaks will drop to 1-2. As the snap, a low snap, handoff to Baird, trying to get to the outside, jukes back toward the middle, and he's got the touchdown with 30 seconds to go in the game. Makes it 34-14. Six-play scoring drive, all tailback Eric Baird on the ground, all six carries for 45 yards. And the extra point pending. Again, Chicago Bears football coming up Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons on 92.7 FM, the Laser. Really happy to have the Bears as part of our broadcast coverage, and Galesburg Broadcasting, as the extra point is blocked. Well, Brian Allen got in there, and Streaks seem to have that one covered all the way. The snap, Holder never even got the snap down.
Yeah, he barely did the last time, and their kicker, many are encouraged, you know, don't stop and throw your timing off. You just go run your leg through there. It's up to the holder to find a way to get that thing down on the ground somehow.
So they take 2 minutes, 49 seconds to the clock, 6 plays, 4 on the ground, all Eric Baird, his second touchdown run of the night. He's got 20 carries for 162 yards now.
And I always think of the old Charlie Brown cartoon where Lucy pulls the ball away, you know, and Charlie goes flying. And that's the other thing. When we were in the backyard, it was always, I always had a guy that liked to kick my hand.
Oh, that's lovely.
You know, you get real sheepish when you put that ball across. Is he going to hit the ball or is he going to kick my hand across the yard?
Especially if you're playing in November even. 30 seconds to go in the game. Streaks down now by 21 as the kickoff goes, and the Streaks would love to run one back here. Trevon Diggins up the middle, but he runs right into the coverage, still on his feet, and rolled down with a 30. So the final play up coming with 22 seconds to go.
Well, barring an incomplete pass or two, but I doubt that we'll go down that road. In a 34-14 game, just a little over 2 hours. We started this one right at 7 o'clock with no sophomore game.
That's right.
We'll talk with Coach Tim Doherty down on the field after this one is over.
See what the Streaks want to run for their final, probably their final play of the game. Anderson stays in at quarterback. In fact, pretty much all starters in there, and he does take a knee. And that'll be the final play of the game, although we had a whistle. And the clock does continue to run. So, GIL, Silver Streaks fall tonight, 34-14. To the Peoria High School Lions. The postgame show is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Save big on a great selection of products to update your bath. Now during the Menard Day Sale, you'll find great deals on bath ensembles, vanities, and much more. Add the perfect finishing touch with a Moen bath faucet. Choose from a great selection all on sale. A traditional two-handle bath faucet with a chrome finish and lifetime warranty is now just $49. Save big on Moen bath faucets, all on sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Game number 2 for the Fighting Illini football team comes up tomorrow as they host South Dakota State. Join us for the broadcast from Champaign with Brian Barnhart on the call starting at 11 tomorrow on WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Streak score a couple of second-half touchdowns. They really had things rolling there in the third quarter and on into the fourth quarter. It looked for all the world like they just might come back from a 21-point halftime deficit and really make a charge at these Lions. And they did for a while, but they had two deep offensive possessions in Peoria Lions territory. Couldn't get a score out of either one of them. The Lions came back with an 82-84-yard touchdown run by quarterback John Prentice, and that was the dagger that did end the Galesburg Silver Streaks. They did manage one more score after that on a fumble recovery in the end zone, but by then, too little too late. Lions get one more touchdown late for a 34-14 victory. When we come back on the postgame show, we'll talk things over with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty, give you our final statistics of the game, give you our Dave's Auto Body crunch time player of the game as well. Silver Streaks now 1-2 on the season, falling tonight to the Peoria High School Lions. The postgame show is next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL has been brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Thorne's Pets and Supplies, building a bond between you and your pet. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast for tonight: cloudy skies, scattered showers with an overnight low of 58. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with scattered showers once again and a high reaching around 75. And tomorrow night, cloudy with an overnight low of 58. For your Sunday, partly sunny skies and temperatures around 80. And Sunday night, clear skies with an overnight low around 62. It's currently 64 in downtown Galesburg at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Streaks now 1-2 on this young season. Actually, I mean, not such a young season anymore. We're a third of the way through now. 3 of the 9 games down, and conference play starts next week as the Silver Streaks travel to East Moline to take on the United Township Panthers at the Soul Bowl. Galesburg, a lot of numbers tonight that don't look so good, but completely different second half than what we saw in the first half, but some real missed opportunities for Galesburg in the third and fourth quarters. The first two possessions by the Lions after leading 21-0 at halftime, their first two second-half possessions were both three and out. Lions had the ball to start the second half. Silver Streaks in their first possession of the third quarter, also a three and out. Lions right back at three and out. So already with 6:33 to go in the third quarter, we were up to our fourth offensive possession, change of possession, and the Silver Streaks took the ball from their own 39-yard line down to the Lions' 27-yard line. Somewhere in there, there was a fumble. Silver Streaks had no idea that a fumble had been ruled, and the Lions took over. But then on their first possession of the drive, they fumbled it right back. So in all essence, the fumbles offset each other, and the Silver Streak drive continued from the 31-yard line down to the 18, where Will Anderson ran in an 18-yard touchdown run, and the score was 21-7. On the ensuing kickoff, the Lions fumbled, and Cedric Washington recovered for the Silver Streak. So Galesburg had the ball in Lions territory again at the 35-yard line. They took it all the way down to the Peoria Central 6 on first and goal, but they couldn't get a touchdown out of the deal. The Lions threw an interception. The Streaks got it back at the Lions 20. They could not score again. And on the ensuing possession, the Lions went from their 20-yard line down into the end zone. The quarterback Prentice ran it 84 yards, and at that point the game was essentially over. So the Silver Streaks did get one more touchdown, a defensive touchdown of all things. They had such great field position, couldn't get any offensive touchdowns in the second half. Then the Lions take over at their own three-yard line after a great Tyler Brackett punt, a fumble recovery in the end zone. That's their final touchdown. Just a weird, weird game. Here's Jim to talk it over with head coach Tim Doherty.
Down on the field with Coach Tim Doherty, and Coach, kind of an odd game. Game in the first half that seemed like Peoria, with their size and their strength, was just the dominant team on the field. And then in the second half, we really came to life and made a good showing, I think.
Well, we got to play 48 minutes, and we didn't do that. So it was apparent that it was two different games. So, you know, we've got to show up off the bus, and it's inexcusable until we fix that. That's the way it's going to be.
Strategically, any changes in the second half that made the opportunities, or was it just mainly effort on the kids' part?
No. You know, we got a lot of inexperienced guys. You know, we got. Against a we've played two physical, hard, athletic teams, you know, so don't forget that. But, you know, our boys have to bounce back and understand, you know, it's about 48 minutes of competing, and, you know, it's just a learning curve, and we're on it.
Yeah. A couple of key points in this game, obviously, those fourth down plays could have got us back within a touchdown either time, but just couldn't quite get it done. Your thoughts on what you could or couldn't have done there in those situations?
Fourth downs, we just have to play smarter, faster. Our execution is not where it needs to be offensively. We have moments, but we've got to. You can't play football that way. Defensively, you know, there's times where we show like we're playing great team defense, and other times. So, that's the way I saw it.
Will Anderson really took a shot there toward the end of the first half over on this side. We were a little concerned. He was down flat for a while, but bounced back up. That was one of the great things to see, and he looked like he was no worse for the wear in the second half.
Well, the clock's running. We're in 2-minute offense. He needs to get what he can and then get out of bounds, not take another guy's best shot. I mean, there again, it's just learning curve. You can't take the guy's best shot. He's got inside out, get out of bounds, stop the clock, number one. It's just a learning curve, and we're on it, and, you know, I trust our guys will battle through it.
Well, finally, you talked about effort that was bigger in the second half, and I suppose a certain amount of confidence, too. I think, you know, any guy that's played football comes out when you line up against a team that's bigger and more physical than you are. You think, man, maybe I just can't hold these guys off, but then all of a sudden you get that 11 guys that you were talking about in the postgame. If you get the whole thing together, you realize maybe we can overcome that.
Our guys understanding our concepts. We're not embracing what we have offensively. We've got double teams. We've got misdirection. We're beating ourselves. And until we can fix that offensively, we're just going to be sputtering and put ourselves in bad situations.
We'll line it up again next week. Thanks as always for your time, Coach.
You bet. Thank you.
Tim Doherty, head coach of the Silver Streaks, always kind enough to join us here on the postgame as the Silver Streaks fall tonight 34-14 to the Peoria High School Lions. We'll take a break here on the postgame show, run through our final statistics when we come back for Silver Streaks football postgame coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm talking, but they're not listening. Could you explain to your furry pals that Thorns didn't go out of business? They moved. Thorns Pets and Supplies has reopened on Prairie Street. They needed more space for their huge selection of dog and cat food. They've got everything under the sun. All the cool cats are shopping there, and the dogs give it 2 paws up. Plus a dog wash. Yes, you can give your dog a bath right at the store. No more messes in your bathroom at home.
Thorns Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, across from Stone Hayes in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Are you sure it's okay to bring this grill up to the stand?
Relax. Have another shish kebab.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Will you scoot over? I can't reach the fondue.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock, with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Thirty-four to 14, Galesburg Silver Streaks fall tonight to the Peoria High School Lions. Galesburg now 1-2 on the season. The Lions win their second straight to improve to 2-1. Take a look at the final post-game statistics for you. Let's start off with the victorious team, the Lions, led by Eric Baird's 162 yards on just 20 carries and two touchdowns. The Lions outrushed the Silver Streaks 309 yards to 146. They finished 36 for 309. Harrison Hale with six carries for 36 yards. The quarterback, John Prentice, was actually negative yardage on his first three carries, but that 84-yard touchdown run that pretty much sealed the victory for the Lions allows him to finish with four carries and 76 yards. Terrell Shields with two carries for 15 yards. B.J. Gray had a couple of runs on the ground for 12 yards. B.J. Walker, one carry for 7 yards. And Josh Augusta had a carry for 1 yard. Not much passing to talk about tonight. John Prentice, the quarterback for the Lions, one of two with an interception and a 3-yard touchdown pass, which went to tight end Jordan Kaczynski. Six penalties tonight for the Lions for 40 yards. For the Galesburg Silver Streaks, as a team finished with 40 carries and just 146 yards on the ground, Trevon Diggins, the leading rusher tonight, with 10 carries for 70 yards. John Mixon had 11 carries for 46 yards. Will Anderson, 7 for 28. Cedric Washington carried the ball 12 times, but picked up only 2 yards of positive rushing tonight. Will Anderson, the quarterback, 2 for 5 passing tonight for 19 yards. He had an 11-yard pass to Jake Innes and an 8-yard pass to Cedric Washington. Streaks had just 2 penalties tonight for 10 yards. Take a break here on the postgame show. When we come back, a look at our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We'll set up what's ahead for the Silver Streaks and what's ahead for our sports coverage weekend here on WGIL as we continue with Silver Streaks football coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Everybody knows a game is better with a goal. The goal is better with announcers.
Goal!
Announcers are better in the movies.
In a world with no plot.
Movies are better with fast cars. Cars are better when they take you to McDonald's. McDonald's is better with Coke. Coke is even better when it's a buck. Get any size Coca-Cola or soft drink for $1 at McDonald's. And it really doesn't get any better than that. The simple joy of better. At participating McDonald's, a la carte only.
Life is full of changes and challenges. The right life insurance coverage can help you plan ahead for whatever may happen, both expected and unexpected. I'm Mike Craddy, your local Pekin insurance agent in Galesburg. I can show you a wide range of life insurance products for whatever stage of life you're in. Universal life, term life, preferred whole life, single pay child life, annuities, and more. We'll go beyond the expected for you and your loved ones.
Call Craddy Insurance, your Pekin insurance agent today about life insurance.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
A more in-depth look at the day's local news and happenings. The WGIL Evening News, weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Final thoughts from Peoria Stadium, where the Silver Streaks fall tonight to the Lions of Peoria High School. 34-14, Streaks drop to 1-2 on the season. Final order of business, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. I thought I had it all figured out, and then Jim Lee comes up here and says, nope, be somebody else tonight.
You had my veto power out tonight. Well, you had a good idea in Cedric Washington because he did some good things tonight, obviously, with some running and an interception and forcing a fumble. Or recovered a fumble, didn't he?
Recovered a fumble on the punt, yep, as the Streaks really had that momentum going in the second. Well, they scored the touchdown. And then they fumbled the kickoff return, and there's Cedric to get it back. And we're thinking, oh, baby, here we go.
Yep. But that was kind of the end of it. And, of course, Cedric had the big run there last week against Morton at the early part of the game and earned himself the crunch time there. So in lieu of not wanting to have the same guy 2 weeks in a row, another pretty good candidate tonight was we thought was quarterback Will Anderson. Could we use a little work throwing the ball? Didn't have many chances in this one tonight. Need to develop a passing game, certainly, to, as we said, to really have a chance to win some of these games. But count out his courage and coming over here and, you know, bouncing back up after we thought he might be injured rather seriously with that big hit that he took. And then he played the whole second half. And of course, he was the one that scored the touchdown.
Yep.
And tucked that thing away and made a nice run right up the middle that gave us our only score of the game. And
our only offensive score of the game.
Well, that's right. That's right. Only offensive score. So for those, Will Anderson tonight will be our crunch time player of the game.
And our thanks, as always, to Dave's Auto Body for sponsoring that honor for the kids as we go throughout the football and basketball season. So next week, as Jim mentioned earlier, probably the best chance, at least looking at what's on what, you know, United Township is the one team that everybody's looking at saying, well, that's a great chance for a win right there. But after back-to-back losses, and again, as we've talked to a young, inexperienced Silver Streaks team, you know that they're thinking that about the Silver Streaks as well, and it's their home next week. Streaks are in the midst of a three-game road trip with last week, this week, and next week. So it's Streaks got to get some things figured out here before next week.
Yep, as much the mental part of the game as it is physical, and I think that was borne out tonight is as Coach Doherty said, they really didn't change anything substantially in that third quarter. They just all played together and played harder, and you saw the result being they could compete with this team.
Which is encouraging, yeah.
But you've got to do that for four quarters, especially when you're really outmanned as far as size and strength in some positions. You've got to have that total team effort on the field, and so we'll see if we can put together 48 minutes of that next week up at the Soul Bowl at East Moline.
Our thanks, as always, to Nicole Olin, our broadcast engineer, for keeping us on the air so that you can stay in tune with the social. WGIL, good night. Have a great Stearman fly-in weekend.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.
I'm talking, but they're not listening. Could you explain to your furry pals that Thorns didn't go out of business? They moved. Thorns Pets and Supplies has reopened on Prairie Street. They needed more space for their huge selection of dog and cat food. They've got everything under the sun. All the cool cats are shopping there, and the dogs give it two paws up. Plus a dog wash. Yes, you can give your dog a bath right at the store. No more messes in your bathroom at home.
Thorns Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, across from Stone Hays in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
In the book, Unmeasured Strength from Henry Holt, 1-866-50-JIMBO on the Jimbo Hannon Show as we remember 9/11. We'll be back here at Westwood One.
Welcome back to What's Your Deal? So, Susan, ready to see what's behind door number one?
What about door two or three?
Sorry, Susan, just one door today.
You expect options everywhere else in life. Are you getting them when it comes to your medical treatment? Explore all your options and talk with your doctor about what's right for you. Knowing your options is the best option. Learn more at ahrq.gov. That's ahrq.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
Qualifying for the Galesburg Civic Arts Center's Art in the Park event each year is a debate, according to Executive Director Heather Norman. She tells WGIL the Art Center aims at keeping it a fine art fair, but they do allow for fine crafts. Norman says there will be jewelry makers and wood turnings among the 50 registered artists. From the region, she says six local food vendors join artists, dancers, and musicians at Standish Park Arboretum between 9 and 4 p.m. tomorrow. Norman says the 25th annual event will feature 30 emerging artists, all vying for a new People's Choice Award. It won't be her first rodeo, and that's obvious, with first-year president of Knox College, Teresa Amat. At Thursday's opening convocation, President Amat presented a plan for her first year in office, identifying a need for more alumni outreach and an investigation into endowment support. Amat says she wants students to deepen their commitment with the city of Galesburg and do more in environmental sustainability as well. I'm Kyle Schatzberger, top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Kirsten McNary. U.S. intelligence officials investigating a credible tip of a terror plan to attack D.C. or New York.
We finally got bin Laden, and we got him because we never gave up. And we never said, oh, you know, that was yesterday's news. No, you attack us, we're going to get you. So I guess my view on this is we've made improvements. What I worry about is our country needs to sort of stay in the game. We need to be on our toes.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at the New York Stock Exchange. At the Pentagon,
they wanted to weaken us, but instead they strengthened America. They unified us. In the face of that attack,
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta joining several hundred military and civilian workers to remember the victims of 9/11. President Obama visiting Ground Zero, the Pentagon, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania on Sunday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The official WGIL forecast for tonight: cloudy skies, scattered showers with an overnight low of 58. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with scattered showers once again and a high reaching around 75. And tomorrow night, cloudy with an overnight low of 58. For your Sunday, partly sunny skies and temperatures around 80. And Sunday night, clear skies with an overnight low around 62. It's currently 64 in downtown Galesburg at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Nobody covers Galesburg like WGIL.
Welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-504-6626, online at jimbotalk.net. Where were you? What were you doing? We'll be asking for your contributions and thoughts tonight as well. It is a gross national memory, of course. For many of us, it was a somewhat academic circumstance. For a few, it was terribly, vividly real and personal. Those would include our guest, Lauren Manning, former managing director and partner at the Cantor Fitzgerald Brokerage House. I should note, by the way, that I misspoke as to the figures. The 658 people who died from the Cantor Fitzgerald firm represented one-fifth of the total who died. Over two-thirds of the firm, actually, was killed. As we, of course, heard some of the reaction to that with Anthony Mason and the report that began the program tonight. Lauren is in the hospital and feeling plenty of pain. At one point, she tells her husband, who has come to see her, "My hands are no good." She was telling Greg about the morphine drip. "I can't press the button." Then your rage began to speak again. "Get me to a burn unit. These people don't know what the hell they're doing. Why can't they see I can't use my hands?" Immediately, Greg explained this to the nurse and went on to contact a doctor about this. In retrospect, what's your
honest, fair appraisal of your treatment. You've already said that you felt that the EMTs made an understandable decision in deciding that faced with overwhelming casualties, they had to try and save those they thought they could. What about what happened at the hospital?
Everyone that day was truly shell-shocked, and they were trying to do the best that they could. I was recounting accurately what they were faced with as they called Weill Cornell and the William Randolph Hearst Burn Center for protocol. They were struggling. This was not a typical case. It was a grand case of catastrophic proportions, and I really needed specialty care. I thought they did an extraordinary job, given the circumstances. The social worker who had been aware of what was going on had prayed, had gone down to a chapel in St. Vincent's and prayed, and walked out into the corridor, and there were these people waiting, hoping to be called in that were qualified nurses and other types of medical personnel, and she said, do you have any burn nurses here? Two women stepped forward. They came up to the floor and began to initiate my care and said, everyone out of the room. And that's when things began to change, although I was not in a state to really analyze any of it. I was still hours away from being where I would spend the next 3 months. Everyone did the best that they could. And it was only a doctor who we happened to know because Greg broke his finger a couple months before, and a year before, rather, and who was on duty that night that came by and said, I was going to die there. Wrote the script and got me transported uptown where I needed to be. The city was on lockdown. Not when I arrived there, but they were later on, so there was a real hesitancy to get me out. But he made the decision that I needed to get out.
1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626, with Lauren Manning, the author of Unmeasured Strength. Jean joins us from Marysville, Pennsylvania. Good evening, Jean.
Hello. Yes, I called to tell you, my cousin worked in the World Trade Center. He worked on one of the top floors for the Port Authority. The Port Authority owned those buildings, and he was an engineer for the Port Authority. When this happened, I frantically called the family to see where he was. And as luck would have it, he was on vacation. He was out of the country on vacation when it happened. The first time the one building was bombed. He either left his office early or late that day, so wasn't in the building when that building was bombed in the first place. And furthermore, when he was a baby, he was buried in an earthquake in Greece.
Oh my.
And was recovered. So I guess he's had three lives.
Wow, it certainly would so seem. I want to thank you very much for sharing your story tonight as well. 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. We'll be back here at Westwood One.
Hi, I'm a home. You know where your heart is? Don't worry, I know how you feel about me. That's why you need to get me flood insurance. If you get homesick after a few days, imagine how a flood would make you feel. Just a few inches of water can cost tens of thousands of dollars in damage. And homeowners insurance doesn't cover floods. But in moderate to low-risk areas, flood insurance starts as low as $129 a year. Visit floodsmart.gov to learn how a flood could affect you.
You won't find a better value on an oil change deal than at Advance Auto Parts. Case in point, right now at Advance, a 5-plus quarts jug of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and filter are just $11.99 after mail-in rebates. That's our lowest price of the year on a Pennzoil oil change special. Again, just $11.99. I think I've made my case. Get a better value at Advance Auto Parts. One more way, service is our best part. See store for details.
Twisted!
Twisted Tea Tribute 28.
Dude, that is tasty.
There you have it, Twisted Tea, the refreshing hard iced tea that tastes like real iced tea. Twisted Tea Tribute, number 9.
I take Twisted Tea to every party. Bottles for the barbecue and cans for the beach.
Twisted Tea, the refreshing hard iced tea that tastes like real iced tea. Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Twist responsibly.
On to round 3. If a train leaves Spokane...
Schenectady by Saturday.
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is red!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry, I'm a hugger.
If you've had an accident of any kind, no matter how small, your injury could very well need the attention of a doctor of chiropractic. Dr. Jeffrey Hayden at Hayden Chiropractic would like to remind you that auto accidents, workers' compensation, and most insurance companies recognize and cover chiropractic.